On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, hey and welcome. A minute past the hour and halfway through the week. Less than a week away from heading back to D.C. for quite possibly the Horn's biggest single road trip of its short life thus far. We're headed to the Green Jobs Conference at the Marriott Wardman Park and Omni Shoreham Hotels in Washington, D.C. with the complete Horn schedule there. This should be exciting. And I'm working on getting stuff ready for the gig bag and the gig rig here. Searched literally the world over today for a fuse for one of our broke-down pieces of equipment. Found it in Texas. 18 cents, that fuse. $10 to get it to me. Ah, but it's going to be worth it. It is so going to be worth it. Working on setting up guests, interviews, that kind of thing. And, of course, we're less than a week to heading out for D.C. And, you know, it's not. There's something else at work here as well. It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. But, of course, you well understand that that doesn't just mean it's hump day and downhill toward Friday. Oh, heck no. No, not in the least. No, this is something entirely entirely different. You know, because you're here every week. You know that Wednesday, the middle of the week, it's special around here. It's a chance to get in touch with our inner reason, our common sense. It is, in fact, that's right, prayer meeting. Choirmaster, if you please, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree.
Sing it!
I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches.
for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Hallelujah, choir master. Thank you very kindly. Come on down the blood red carpet and lay your hands upon the subwoofer here at the altar in the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Brother Bob Kincaid, Archbishop of this here cathedral. And I welcome you to prayer meeting on this Wednesday evening, this 28th day of January 2009. And we have work to do this evening, brethren and sistren. We do have work to do before us, because the other side is busy even as we speak. That's right. The vile, virulent, poisonous, pustulent evildoers at the American Family Association are already busy. They have declared the battle begins. Which battle? You know, of course, we're all the time having to deal with this eliminationist, war-based rhetoric from the right-wing followers of the Prince of Peace. But which battle would this be? I mean, it's got something to do with, how people have sex, and lo and behold, there they were yesterday. The fight against freedom of choice begins. That's right. The right-wing religion industry is out there going at it hammer and tongs. Brad Matties, executive director of Life Issues Institute. These things breed. These right-wing institutes, there's all this money flowing around. Would you give me $75 million? I want to start the Life. What are we calling it? We want to start the Life Issues Institute. Well, here, $75 million? Here's $100 million. See if that'll do for a while. Brad Matties, executive director of Life Issues Institute, says the Freedom of Choice Act, or FOCA. Ooh, FOCA. Hey, baby, you want it? No, never mind. Stop that. Is a dangerous bill that President Barack Obama has promised to sign. Quote, FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act, would kick to the curb every protective law that has been passed by Congress, state legislatures, or local communities. FOCA would promote, not tolerate, but promote partial birth abortion. Never mind the fact that, and we know, let's not tell the wing nuts. They're making themselves fabulously wealthy on all of this stuff. So let's not tell them that there's no such thing as partial birth abortion. Because, they're having so much fun. But there isn't. If FOCA is brought through committee and to the floor of the House and the Senate as an entire bill, I think our chances are better at stopping it. Never stops. It never ends. And, of course, I'm sure people like Brad Matties, executive director of Life Issues Institute, was tickled pink when the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives surrendered yesterday and gave American working and lower class, working class is working class. Why do we say lower? Gave American working class women the fickle finger of fate, if you will, in deciding that their reproductive health care choices were not worth including in the stimulus package. That's right, brothers and sisters, we are surrendering our way to peace and freedom. What? Yeah, because we surrendered some more today. We really did. But that's okay. That's okay, because we're making it clear that we're surrendering from a position of strength. Just yesterday, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Democrat from Maryland, came out and said, being bipartisan does not mean having to lay down and say, we'll do whatever you want. and then promptly laid down and did whatever they wanted. Today, well, let's see, yesterday we laid down and did whatever they wanted on women's reproductive health. And today, the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives laid down and did whatever the Republicans wanted by killing the grassroots renewal on the National Mall. Man, how do you like that for imagery? The Democrats caved on a simple project to renew and rejuvenate the single most beautiful green space in our nation's capital. They literally gave up on the grassroots of the nation's mall, that space between the Capitol and the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. And yeah, never mind. Yes, brothers and sisters, Democrats of all types, liberal, conservative Democrats, whatever kind of Democrats you are, take note. We are boldly surrendering our way to peace and freedom. Kind of reminds me of something. Most particularly, kind of reminds me of, it reminds me of this.
The Tale of Sir Robin. So each of the knights went their separate ways. Sir Robin rode north through the dark forest of Ewing, accompanied by his favorite minstrels.
Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die, oh, brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin. He was not in the least bit scared to be mashed into a pulp, or to have his eyes gouged out and his elbows broken, to have his kneecap split and his body burned away, and his limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. His head smashed in and his heart cut out and his liver removed and his bowels unplugged and his nostrils raked and his bottom burnt off and his penis...
That's enough music for now, lads. Looks like there's dirty work afoot.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
No!
Bravely ran away, away.
I didn't!
When danger reared its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail.
No!
And his brave Sir Robin turned about.
I didn't!
He chickened out, bravely taking...
I never did!
He beat a very brave retreat.
Oh, Lord!
He thought the brave Sir Robin...
I never!
It in and packing it up and sneaking away and buggering off and chickening out and fitting up home. Yes, bravely he is throwing in the spot.
Yep. The congressional Democrats almost faced down the ferocious Chicken of Bristol. And again, I'm in this to be wrong. Okay, I am. I want to be wrong about this. I do. I want this to be some sort of Obama Juan Kenobi Jedi mind trick that he's playing on the conservatives and the Republicans. And I want to be just as fooled as everybody else. But these are symbolic things. And we have three of them so far. We have Rick Warren, who was the finger in the eye to the gay community. No, we've got four. Rick Warren, the finger in the eye to the gay community, who busted their asses to get Barack Obama elected. And then we've got, we've got the whole orgy of Bibling into the non-believer community, who busted their asses to get Barack Obama elected. Yesterday, thanks to the congressional Democrats, we've got another finger in the eye to working women all over America who really busted their asses to get Obama elected. And today, the environmental groups, right in the eye, with another little bit of surrender on nothing more complex than green space. The Democrats are running out of fingers, but they're running out of eyes to poke. And I, for one, yeah, it's safe to say I'm a little frustrated. What's the point to this? I mean, I understand this is some sort of grand strategy but if this works out, am I going to feel dumb? And aren't you too? Because we're sitting around here rubbing eyes that we ain't got. I mean, America's working women got right in the eye yesterday, and my eye's hurting. And yeah, I am an environmentalist, because as John Fox has said so many times, no environment, no business, no nothing, no people. That's why I'm an environmentalist. And, right in the eye again. Ow! And I'm a liberal in general, so, you know, it was right in my eye with the Rick Warren and all the biblification. And making Joe Biden apologize to that creepy little guy with the watery blue eyes, John Roberts. Ugh. But there are, you know, cowardice is broad is the way. It is, after all, Wednesday, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Cowardice is a Broadway. And speaking of Broadway, yeah, I just can't resist this stuff.
Here he is. Where?
Here.
What, behind the rabbit?
It is the rabbit.
You silly sod.
What?
You got us all worked up.
Well, that's no ordinary rabbit. Oh. That's the most foul, cruel, and bad-tempered rodent you ever set eyes on.
You tit. I saw my arm and I was so scared.
Look, that rabbit's got a vicious streak a mile wide. It's a killer.
Get stuck.
It'll do you a treat, mate.
Oh, yeah? Manky Scots git.
I'm warning you.
What's he do? Nibble your bum?
He's got huge, sharp... He can leap about... Look at the bones!
Go on, boys. Chop his head off.
Right, silly little beater. One rabbit suit coming right up.
Look! Jesus Christ! I warned you.
I've done it again.
I warned you, but did you listen to me?
That was the Democrat.
You knew it all, didn't you?
I've done it again.
Oh, it's just a harmless little bunny, isn't it? Well, it's always the same. I always tell them, do they listen to me?
Right!
Oh, no.
Shut up!
More Democrats. And then the classic line. The one that really epitomizes the last 2 days of being a congressional Democrat. Perhaps it would confuse it if we ran away more. And the line that follows. Shut up! And go and change your armor. There you go. Okay, Steny Hoyer, I'm with you, buddy. It does take two to be bipartisan. Bi means two, as he noted yesterday. That's a quote from Steny Hoyer, by the way. It takes two parties and two groups to be bipartisan. Bi means two. Bi means a few other things, too. Standing, but we won't go there right now. Those people already had a finger poked in their eye. It does it, but see, you don't build bipartisanship with a Republican by acting weak and giving things up. That's whining. Bi means two. God, this is frustrating. The way you deal with a Republican is by punching them in the nose repeatedly. By making sure that they get nothing that they want. That no pork goes home to their districts, among other things. By making sure that they... Because, see, it was done to us, and we didn't like it, but we didn't not like it enough to make sure that they the other side gets a taste of it so they don't ever do it again. Remember John Conyers holding a hearing in the basement of the Capitol in a broom closet? Do you remember that vicious, vile, ignorant, hateful old freak, Sensenbrenner, turning the microphones off in a hearing before the Democrats could speak? Do you remember that? I, by God, remember that. And I didn't like it then, and I damn sure don't like it now, and I want the little bastards to have it done to them themselves so that they will learn once and for all that we can either play nice and get along and work for the country, or they can just sit down and shut up, or STFU, as that brilliant little essay that was sent to me by our buddy Dennis yesterday. STFU, and we all know what that means. But is this just me? I mean, I'm all for the things that for promoting unity and being, you know, all friends and but you have to get to the point where there is some degree of mutual respect. Yeah, you know, before you can sit down and start, you know, playing music like this. Wednesday. Sing, everybody. Nobody loves that sentiment more than I do, honestly. But it's not a place that you get to
without some struggle. And right now, the struggle is not taking place. I got the whole judo thing or the martial where you use somebody's strength against them and blah, blah, blah. I understand that. But there at least has to, but you've got to at least be participating in the struggle before that can happen. Does this make sense? If it doesn't, tell me and I'll try to find another way of getting at it. But surrendering your way to peace and freedom, I've never seen that at work. I mean, that's not even what Gandhi did. It certainly isn't what happened in the civil rights movement in the United States. There's nonviolence, and then there's doormatism. Right now, what we're witnessing is doormatism. Come on, Congress, you've got power. People bled and sweated and walked precincts and talked to people and endured the physical and verbal abuse to let you be there, Congress, Democrats, to work from a position of strength that manifests the dire needs of the people of the United States of America. Not to stand up and surrender. I mean, honest to Pete. Let's go to the phones and see if I can get better. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, you're not going to get better with me. You're going to get more. Oh, man. What we need is a guy like, I don't know, somebody is the equivalent of Woody Hayes or something, just goes down to Democratic Congress meeting, just throws a chair against the wall on his wristwatch and screams so loud you think the jugular veins are going to pop like air balloons out of his neck.
I'm game for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, because if
but,
not,
but, but half of the Democratic caucus would they'd be like the famous fainting goats of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know, but at least they'd be more scared of that guy than the Republicans.
Well, maybe that's where it starts. But then again, it appears that we've got discipline inside the Democratic Party. It's the ability. It's what happens after. Okay, now we're all together. Now we march at them. You know, one, two, three, go. That's where we aren't.
Yeah, I mean, us on the grassroots, we work our asses off year-round, and literally people have died for this.
Yes.
Don't forget that, you know, that little Unitarian church in Tennessee, people gave their lives to this cause, and also in Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, people have died for this. For God's sake, you people grow a goddamn spine.
It is.
Send them pig spines as well. Maybe they could inject them in there or something. I don't know.
It's
like they do with pig hearts.
Yeah, well, I know. And I don't mean to just get behind the microphone here and complain. I want to celebrate some.
Oh yeah.
And it felt like celebrating when Obama was inaugurated. It certainly felt like celebration when he won the election. But this is surrendering.
Yeah.
How is this not surrendering? I understand compromise too.
Why the hell does John Boehner have any goddamn say-so whatsoever? The guy has lost power every election term. He's been the party head in the Congress for the Republican Party, and now he's got power? He's telling us what to do and not to do? Screw that. They told if we ever came to them and did that, they'd tell us to piss up a rope. But now we got these guys. Him, yeah, friggin' weird-ass John Boehner, or Boehner, his real name's Boehner.
His real name, yeah, right. No, that's how he pronounces it.
Yeah.
Because he's been probably beaten within an inch of his life when he was growing up on the playground. Hey, Boehner!
Yeah, which explains his entire personality complex.
Right.
And he's from the freaky-ass part of my state. The fascist part of Cincinnati, No, he's not in Cincinnati, technically, because there's too many minorities there. You know, his ass would be out on the street if he was in Cincinnati in his district directly. No, he lives in the suburbs north of Cincinnati where all the little fascists run to in Westchester.
Ah, and the where there are gated communities and McMansions and that kind of junk?
Not really gated communities, but McMansions. Gated communities seem to be a southern phenomenon.
Well,
more than a northern
okay.
one. Not to say there aren't any. There's like one and two are Dayton, but I wouldn't live in there because I look at the houses like, ugh.
I know.
I mean, they're not. They're old. Basically, it's just people just want to be secluded from the rest of the city. Completely. It's not a wealth thing. It's just really just a very clannish type personality.
But I mean, you know, let's be fair though. This isn't all John Boehner.
Yeah.
This is. This is in the Senate too. This is crazy ass Kay Bailey Hutchison. This is her. Check this out. This is her yesterday on MSNBC with David Schuster. You want to hear crazy? I got crazy. I got crazy by the bucketful because we got lots of Republicans out there running their mouths while we're surrendering. You know, this stuff just makes me nuts. Well, it'll start someday. Maybe. Okay, well, maybe Kay Bailey Hutchison didn't want to be insane for us, so let me just read the transcript. Oh, darn. Maybe I got all kinds of problems going on here. Am I still sending? Yeah, I'm still sending. David Schuster asked her, when you give the states money to help with Medicare, it means that the states that have to balance their own budgets won't have to spend as much of their own money to try to pour into Medicare because people are hurting. Kay Bailey Hutchison came back with,
well, one of the big problems I have with this bill is that you don't know which states it's going to. There's no allocation. It's just going to be in the agencies and the bureaucracies to make these decisions.
I guess she wanted to make the decisions. But then again, she's a senator from Texas, she's a Republican, and she's in the, come on, everybody, 1, 2, 3, minority. So she needs to, five words, sit down and shut up. But there's still time for her on the electric TV box, and well, that's just charming, isn't it? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
Yeah, I just think what's happening is that Barack, and I had this conversation with a guy, Barack is going to give these guys enough rope to hang themselves. You know, it's only a week into the term, man.
Yeah, but see, this is okay, Kevin. I'm all right with that, and like I said, I'll be the first one to admit that. You know, wow, did I get outsmarted? And be proud to say it too. But. And yeah, we're only a week into his presidency. But this wasn't Barack Obama that was knuckling under. These last two things, the National Mall thing and the women's reproductive health care, the contraception funding, those weren't Barack Obama. That was the same capitulationist the behavior that we've seen for 2 years from Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. That's why I call her Nancy Capitulosi.
Well, I think, you know, her and Harry Reid are going to kind of, her days are going to be over pretty soon.
To be replaced by?
Steny
Hoyer, the next guy in line?
I don't know.
Takes two to be by.
Yeah. But I just think, because really, Nancy Pelosi should have been voted out of office by Cindy Sheehan, but that's another story altogether. But, you know, Harry Reid has got to go.
Amen. From back here in the amen corner, Kevin. I mean, to be replaced by? I mean, see, if you and I sit down and come up with our little list, we can come up with people that we would be proud to call Speaker of the House. But the problem is the rest of the House would never elect them. And the same thing goes for the United States Senate. At least apparently we're not there yet. I mean, I understand some of this, this Jedi mind trick that's going on, Because if you let the Repiglicans do what Repiglicans want to do, if they try to make Barack Obama fail by stymieing all the legislation, then you come back and you say, well, we tried. We wanted it. They stopped it. There's only one problem, though, Kevin. The media, the for-profit media out there, isn't me. And it's not Guy James, and it's not the Horn, and it's no. The for-profit media out there are the little lick spittles who have suddenly awakened to decide that they're going to hold Barack Obama to account. You know, why else is Kay Bailey Hutchison talking to David Schuster? Why are these freaks all over the network news when we can't seem to get our message across that we want to fix America right now?
Because it'd be bought off.
Because the for-profit media are owned by the same people that the right wing sits around and has booze and shrimp with on a constant basis.
Oh, yeah. And
not that there's anything against booze and shrimp.
Yeah, and that's a very good life which they want to maintain.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Maybe he is giving them enough rope, but by the time they've gotten the rope that they need to hang themselves, well, how many more 93-year-old dead men do we need frozen to death in Michigan? How many more families of seven do we need blown away in Los Angeles? Things are getting dire here, Kevin, you know?
I understand that, but what it's going to take, and the thing is, usually what happens in situations like this, and I've been reading up on my Gandhi for writing purposes, is that it takes, unfortunately, body upon body for the world to wake up. And, you know, it's sad, but it's true. You know, what really mobilized the Indian movement was the massacre at Amritsar. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, what took the civil rights to really, really jet off is the bombing of four little girls. And the media, by its own nature, which thrives on sensationalism, will thrive on it. And that's the game that's being, as sociopathic as it may be, that's the game.
Well, I wonder and I worry, Kevin, that we have the infrastructure to beat back these anti-American thugs. They're thugs. And the damage that they do in the interim has real world consequences.
Yeah, that I understand, and it does, you know, because I don't like hearing about a 93-year-old veteran, mind you, freezing to death.
No, it doesn't sit well, does it?
No, you know, and that company, and again, it goes back to why are senior citizens paying for heat?
Yeah, it does. And the story of the family in Los Angeles, the Lupo family, I got some more details on that today. We talked about it briefly last night. And that doesn't sit well at all. And Dennis Kucinich, bless his heart, when you need somebody to stand up and speak honestly, thank heaven there is Dennis Kucinich.
Thank God.
I got to just to share these words with you. He said, in support of the stimulus bill, H.R. 1, he said, a 93-year-old man freezes to death in his home because he can't pay the electric bill. A family of seven perishes in a murder-suicide over financial and job-related matters. A 90-year-old woman tries to kill herself when the sheriff arrives to take her house. And a 75-year-old woman is buried today after predatory lenders drove her to suicide. More and more Americans are being driven to desperation over losing their jobs and their homes. This economy is literally killing people.
It is.
He went on and he said, the banks get a $700 billion bailout as they continue to kick people out of their homes. We must get help directly to the American people. There are good reasons to question the $825 billion stimulus, but there is no, and this is important, but there is no good reason to oppose it. Not when every crooked interest in this country has been in a long parade at the public trough while factories are shut, jobs are lost, and homes are foreclosed. Congress must act today for the people, Kucinich said. We must come back again and again with a more comprehensive jobs program to rebuild infrastructure, fund education, including preschool, and create a universal health program. He said we must gain control of our money system and stop the taxpayers from being robbed by the banks. The banks already have $700 billion, and they're looking for another trillion. It's time we start to look out for number one, the American people, and pass H.R. 1 for the American people and give the American people back some of their money.
Oh, yeah. If I may add, I'm going to read a little paragraph from what I wrote, if you don't mind.
Sure.
What our political and corporate leadership fail to realize is people are not liability. Every time an employee is fired unjustly, downsized, laid off, or dissatisfied with their job, it becomes a burden on society and eventually will become a burden on you whether you realize it or not. You point out to me an underemployed, unemployed, downsized, dissatisfied employee, regardless of skill and education, and I'll show you a potential thief, prostitute, drug addict, drug dealer, alcoholic, murderer, rapist, and terrorist.
Very well said. Very well put.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and that's the truth of it, because you know what's happened in many third world, well, it's been happening for years. They're going around kidnapping the children of the rich and shameless and sending them little pieces of their bodies back in envelopes until that ransom is paid. You ever seen that movie, Man on Fire, with Denzel Washington?
Yes, I have.
That's a very realistic scenario.
No, it's based on a true story, isn't it?
Yeah, in many third world countries. And is that the life, you know, you want for you and your kids?
That's why we got to go kill the terrorists.
Mm.
But it's beyond American national borders. You're absolutely right. I was exhorted last night to watch a segment from Frontline World on PBS about the Uyghurs. They are Muslims from far western China who are outcasts in their own land. And a couple of dozen of them got swept up into the ratting out for profit business that we set up in Afghanistan early in 2002, late in 2001. They can't go home because the United States named them terrorists, and the Chinese now have a nice prison cell waiting for them. They can't be turned onto the streets of America because America would say, well, they were in Guantanamo, they need to be killed. And they went, and five of them, there are still 17 of them who are in custody in Guantanamo. Meanwhile, by the way, Kevin, the federal government itself has determined that these people were not ever even a little teeny tiny bit of terrorists. They did just wrong place, wrong time. But they can't be released. They can't go home. They have families there. One man hasn't seen his wife and children in 8 years. He talks to her once a week on a telephone like acquaintances, the story said.
Mm.
And the government says they're not guilty. But yet 17 of them are still being held in solitary.
Mm.
Now, for Eric Holder, who is apparently going to be the attorney general, you know, he passed out of committee today. For Barack Obama, I have a question. How do you just say, well, that stuff happens, too bad for them, too bad for those 17 people, too bad for the five in Albania who can't go home? How do you just do that? How do you do that and still show up at church on Sunday?
Well, I guess the rich and powerful think different than you and I. I go back to F. Scott Fitzgerald. They think differently than you and I.
Yeah, I know, I know. And you know Hemingway's response to that wasn't, don't you? Bull. And I think that was when he took Scott Fitzgerald through the museum and showed him, like, penises on statues or something like that. Hemingway was drunk at the time, probably, so, you know, there you go.
And I like them both, but Fitzgerald is more my, the Ritz thinks differently than you and I.
Yep. But I don't, how do you not prosecute that conduct? And there was something else in that Frontline story as well, Kevin, where they interviewed a CIA agent, one of the ones who captured the Uyghurs in Afghanistan. And he said, well, we shipped them off to Guantanamo because we thought it would be there would be a better chance of getting information from them. We thought that their, and this was the phrase he used, and I about jumped through the TV screen, we thought their interrogators could spend more quality time with them. Wow. You know, wow, when I think about the time that I spend working on network stuff back here and making all of this go, and I think about the time that I don't spend with my kids, you know, throwing a baseball or working on Spanish homework or in anything that I ought to be doing as a parent, I think of that time as quality time. I don't think about strapping somebody to a board and simulating their drowning, their murder. I don't think of that as quality time. But you know what? We've got little Eichmanns in our government who do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Kevin, good talking to you, brother. We will talk soon.
Okay, bro.
All right, later. Bye now. Wow, you've got a bunch of lights lit up, guys. I'm going to just march right through and hope you're still there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Gene, what's up?
Well, I hope Kevin's right, because I just threw up in the chat room. I think I found your fifth poke. And granted, or a potential fifth poke, I was reading this thing by David Sirota, and basically he talks about this unnamed top Democrat expressed some frustration that money was being pushed to favor traditional Democratic sources. And it's like, well, duh. And I get mad because, see, the way I look at this is it bothers me to think that this current crop of Dems would be more inclined to want to cave to the right wing than to just, it's funny, they'd rather have unity with them than rather have unity within their own party. And what worries me is, Since the Republicans are pushing out all the moderates in their party, that the conservative Dems are looking at the moderate Republicans and saying, boy, they've got to have a place to go. Let's get these folks in and kind of just cut the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party loose. Now, personally, I'm all for third parties, but I don't want to be one.
Yeah, that may be the best take I've heard on that yet, Gene.
I mean, let the moderates and the moderate Republicans and the conservative Democrats, let them form their party. I mean, we gotta have an opposition. That's the thing that I hope this is Obama Juan Kenobi. I hope Kevin's right. They're letting them. I mean, and I can see the point. I mean, when you look at the Republican right wing, I mean, you have to be, well, you'd have to be, what do you call it, stump liquor drunk.
There you go. You remember.
Oh, to follow those guys. And so, I mean, it makes it easy to, but why are the conservative Dems cave into the stump liquor crowd?
Well, but because they deep in their souls they got some stump liquor going for them too, Gene.
Yeah.
The one of the problems lies in the fact that the Democrats know that they won power and that they have the majority, and now they expect the Repiglicans to play fair. You know, we laid down and licked George Bush's rear end while we were out of power. Now it's your turn, and the Republicans are saying, like, hell, you know, we've got some dignity, and we ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are absolutely flummoxed by that. They're amazed by it, Gene. They don't know what to do now, because they've come up and said, the Democrats have said to the Republicans, you better get out of the way. And the Republicans, instead of getting out of the way, said, and what if I don't?
Yeah,
and all Nancy Pelosi's left with is, then I'll say get out of the way again.
Well, see, I hope that was just it, but I guess I'm more cynical than you. I'm looking at the DLC Dems, and I'm thinking, boy, they're looking at these moderate Republicans getting kicked out, and they're saying, well, they got to go somewhere. We'll take them in. I mean, there isn't that much difference between the DLC Dems and the moderate Republicans.
And, well, you know, the stimulus bill did pass today.
Yeah. It did pass, which is a good thing. But, you know, it's weird because it's strange.
Well, but you want the thing that's telling out of this, and I hope to goodness that Barack Obama gets this message in an, I mean, yesterday hurry. The vote on the stimulus bill today, Gene, was 244 to 188.
Mm-hmm.
That is almost a straight party line vote.
That doesn't surprise me.
Now, Barack Obama was out there shaking babies and kissing hands and being nice and going to dinner with right wingers and, you know, sitting down, being friendly and singing Kumbaya. And guess what? Didn't matter.
They went out and they knifed him.
Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, because, see, the Republican Party, they've got something called discipline.
Well, the thing of it is, the thing that's so sucky is you get the, if you look at the corporate media, for-profit media, you know, there was that big headline yesterday, congressional Republicans swoon over Obama. It's like, swoon? Doesn't look like swooning. I mean, they might have, to his face, yeah, but like you just said, it's like.
Well, look what went on with Flimball today, okay?
Okay.
Did you follow this?
No, I didn't.
Okay, there's this creepy right winger from Georgia, and his name is Phil Gingrey, not Newt Gingrey. Phil Gingrey.
Uh-huh.
And Phil Gingrey said he gave an interview to Politico, uh-huh. And Phil Gingrey said that. He said, I mean, it's easy if you're Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or even sometimes Newt Gingrich to stand back and throw bricks. Now, this guy's a conservative, okay? This was one of the guys who was crying when Nancy Pelosi said there was going to be a 5-day work week, okay? This is one of those people. He said, it's easy if you're Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or even sometimes Newt Gingrich, I'm doing the wrong accent, or even Newt Gingrich to stand back and throw bricks. You don't have to do what's best for your people and your party. You know, you're just on these talk shows and you're living well, and plus you stir up a bit of controversy and gin the base and that sort of thing. But when it comes to true leadership, not that these people couldn't be or wouldn't be good leaders, they're not in that position of John Boehner or Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Phil Gingrey said that. It almost looked like he was standing up to the thugs in his own party.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't last, Gene.
Yeah.
That's
what I remember hearing.
Yeah, it was a short time later that his telephone switchboard got shut down and his email box got filled up with angry ditto monkeys who had knuckle-walked and mouth-breathed over to the keyboard to say, lay off our Rush. He's great American. He's the best conservative there is.
Oh,
all right?
God.
So no sooner than that happens than Gingrey comes out and declares that Flush Flimball, dig it, like Stokely Carmichael said, dig yourselves.
Yeah.
Flush Flimball, a junkie, a guy who takes vacations to little boy sex paradises with bottles of illegal Viagra, Rush Limbaugh is, according to Phil Gingrey,
yeah,
and I quote,
one of the voices of the conservative movement's conscience.
Oh, God.
And then, just to not to put too fine a point on it, then he had to go on Flush Flimball's show, Gene, and beg forgiveness. Really, I'm not kidding. Let's see if this will load.
He brought a washcloth to wipe his mouth with after he was up the air.
Well, Gingrich said, "Rush, thank you so much. I thank you for the opportunity. Of course, this is not exactly the way I wanted to come on. Mainly, I want to express to you and all your listeners my very sincere regret for those comments I made yesterday to Politico. I clearly ended up putting my foot in my mouth on some of those comments. I regret those stupid comments." And Flimball, the junkie, says, "Well, look, I appreciate that. I'm glad that you called."
Well, apparently that's, I guess he doesn't need a wife for people like that.
Man, I mean, that's, Gene, I mean, tell me if I'm, that's Stalin-esque, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's everything short of taking him off in the woods and handing him the pistol. Of course, he's a right-wing repiglick, and if they did that, he'd probably, you know, shoot an endangered species and miss his own tiny mind. But,
It's just, and these are the guys that the Democrats think they can negotiate with. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Kevin's right. Maybe it's going to have to take a, I mean.
I ain't inspired, Gene.
Huh?
I ain't inspired.
Neither am I. And I'll tell you what, I'll bide my peace until the Employee Free Choice Act. But if that doesn't go like we want it to go, you know what? All bets are off. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a lukewarm person, but it's like I got principles. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you do. And the fact of the matter is, we got principles, we got integrity, and we're fond of them. And as such, we're not prone to just throwing them away.
Mm-hmm.
Not for politics, not for gain, not no. I was on Rick Smith's show out of Pennsylvania this past Sunday. Had a great conversation mm-hmm. with him, and we were talking about how you hold these people's feet to the fire. Well, this is one way. You know, I'm sure that if I had lots of access to Washington insiders, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if I could pick up the phone like some so-called liberal talkers can and say, "Well, yeah, I want to get Senator Bighead on the program," well, I'd probably get him, but I wouldn't be able to say things like surrendering your way to peace and freedom.
Well, you're just not that special, Bob.
But I know. I don't rub it in, Gene. But the point is, I want to be able to call these people on this. And you know what? If I don't necessarily get some exalted Congress critter on the program because I've called them a bunch of self-effacing weasels, well, I guess that's just something I'm going to have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hell of a lot easier to live with that, Gene, than it is living with the idea that I've sold out my principles in order for somebody to call me Big Bob or some such. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, and I just get like you've said already. I mean, all the work we did, and it's like this is what we get. And I remember what you said a few months back about how the right wing, they always scream about abortion, but the Republicans will never really do it because that keeps them in power.
Right.
And I don't want to be taken for granted like that on my side of the aisle.
Well, don't make the mistake of thinking that they won't try it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, can you imagine? I mean, I'm not gonna engage in hubris on this level. But let's take somebody else for instance. Somebody you know respectable like Tom Hartman. Can you imagine any Democratic senator or congressman going on Tom's show and apologizing to him?
No.
Now, first of all, Tom would never say the kind of sleazy stuff that Flush Flimball has said, but under any set of circumstances, knowing that Tom Hartman has an IQ that is probably 75 points higher than any member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine any Congress critter ever going on and doing to Tom Hartman the lick spittle butt kissing that Phil Gingrey did with Rush Limbaugh?
No,
you know who? My God, who got Phil Gingrey to abase himself that way? What kind of power do they wield over him? What kind of dirty pictures do they have of him with a live boy or a dead girl?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's scary. I mean, on the one hand, it's scary to see. On the other hand, there's a part of me that's like, boy, I wish we were this. I wish we could, you know, twist our guys around our fingers like that.
Yeah, or at least you know, I don't need anybody coming on and apologizing or anything like that. I just need them to go about their business and be the majority party, Gene. You know what I mean?
There is a good reason right there that ought to explain to the guys the surrender monkey Dems. I'm sorry. That, hey, we're open and, you know, you can talk to us. You're better off coming to us than you are caving to them.
Yeah, because then you've still got your self-respect.
Yeah. but they just don't get that. Well, I'll let you be, but I had to call in because that was like what I saw that thing, and
we're
like, oh,
yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's it. That's the one, Gene. This house, this studio is nothing but the whole time the mic's not on. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I'll catch you later.
All right, take care, Gene. Bye now. News Ninja Gene from HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I got a feeling Gene makes that noise a lot, because I make that noise a lot. And I know you do, too. One of these days when I'm not being so lazy, I really do have to pull that loop of, or that little segment of the Warner Brothers Yosemite Sam swearing. Black, staggered, new nose, not pole, frazzle, lacking, Russian, dax, black. Because I got a feeling, in the absence of that rubber brick we don't have yet, I got a feeling it would come in handy. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's me again, Bob.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my phone died.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's basically what we need. We just need somebody to go in there and shake them by their shirt collars. Because I've really grown sick of this. Because basically, we know what their game plan is because their voice tells us. Rush Limbaugh. Oh, we want them to fail. And this would be fine if it was a football game I was watching because I could walk away from it. But this isn't. This is the goddamn Republic that they're playing with.
This is people's lives.
Yeah.
They played with the Republic, the structure thereof. They played with that for the last 8 years. Now they're into my neighborhood.
Oh yeah, mine too.
And I ain't feeling none too kindly disposed toward them.
Oh no, they're not. Neither am I. I mean, you know, as a former co-worker and was still a member of an auto union, you know, I didn't like the fact that they called us chop liver. And I know why those Southern senators did it. They're still pissed off we won that damn war hundreds of years ago.
Well, it's only because y'all had more people.
Yeah.
And guns and boats and gunpowder and food and... That's the only reason. That damn drunk general and that psychopath that liked to start fires.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you would have won fair and square, it'd have been another thing, but you played dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Howdy.
Yeah, guns and universities and God knows what else. Oh, man. And that's basically what it is. We always go back to it. Now, the thing is those guys now dominate the Republican Party. And if somebody here says, well, what do you mean? Their leader in the Congress is an Ohioan. Yeah, but he's from a very fascist district that's very
anti-democratic. He is from a chunk of Ohio, if you want to get right down to it. He's from a chunk of Ohio that sent McClellan, wasn't it McClellan, to run against Lincoln in the 1864 election? Does the word copperheads come to mind?
Yeah, basically it's southern transients living in the north, basically what you have in this section of Ohio.
And they wanted to end the Civil War, and they wanted to reach a negotiated agreement with the slaveholding South?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, those were Democrats, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the section he lives in. And now, granted, not the whole area is like that, but, yeah, the part he lives in is like that. But basically, you have a southern mouthpiece or a dough-faced Republican right there talking to people, you know, to use the terms of that time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to kind of hear the stimulus package went through, but I hope it sends a message to Obama that the guys in the Congress of the Republican side are not going to play with you. As much as you compromise with them, as much as you placate and hold hands and compliment them, they're going to spit in your face.
Because like Gene mentioned, they're the stump licker bunch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, we're about to see perhaps the first real manifestation of that. Bear in mind, this was only the House bill. This was only the House side. This was H.R. 1. Now it goes to the Senate.
Yeah.
Now, watch Harry Reid let him kill the bill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And another thing, why in the hell haven't they replaced him yet? I think an empty Pepsi bottle could do a better job as a leader than Harry Reid.
I think an empty laudanum bottle can. Well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just, you know, and he probably will. Obama's got to send somebody down there tonight or tomorrow, grab some senators and say, listen, no compromise. We've compromised enough on this damn thing, you know, because they can get.
Yeah, but the Republicans got the bit in their teeth. I mean, look, they already they whacked reproductive health care for women. They whacked a very symbolic little piece of public works.
Oh yeah.
And they'll keep peeling away. My God, they tried to get in the way of the digital TV thing.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Jesus, what the hell is it with these guys?
Well, they really are taking... They're taking Rush Limbaugh at his word. He really does give them their marching orders.
Yeah.
And they want Barack Obama, and they want the Democratic Party, and they want America in general to fail. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is, I didn't have to spend 2001 to 2009 hoping that George Bush would fail, and I'm proud to say that I didn't hope he would fail. Now, maybe that's because of an intellectual process, but I didn't. I didn't hope he would fail. I knew he would fail.
Yeah.
Because he was doing the same old evil crap that Republicans do. And at least where working people are concerned, where people from the gender community or the sexuality community or the environmental community or the justice community or the anything except the filthy stinking rich community are concerned, it always fails for us because they mean to.
Oh yeah.
You know, I want a Katrina memorial built on the National Mall, and I want it to be a statue of George Bush holding that damn guitar upside down, making a G chord on the wrong stinking fret.
It might as hell well. that was probably the microcosm of his entire administration.
Everything you ever needed to know.
Yeah, while basically a large American metropolis is being forfeited to water and snakes, he's trying to learn how to play a guitar chord. Oh. And people always talk to me, like, you know, why do they do this? I'm like, it's in what their definition of conservatism should be. Basically, like Rachel Maddow says, it's like letting the Amish guy run the power company.
Oh, she can turn one once in a while, can't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't believe in government. They think, you know, this mythical, invisible hand of Ayn Rand will come out of the sky and just make things better. Or I used to have a guy I used to work with who was a conservative. He always used to have what I call the John Wayne philosophy of economics, because he wanted to see power companies completely deregulated. I'm like, it doesn't work like that. Regular economic factors do not weigh in with this. You can't deregulate. Yeah, you can, because somebody will eventually come along and offer it cheaper. You know, hence the John Wayne character.
I know, indeed. Well, awfully good hearing from you. Don't be such a stranger, all right?
All right.
And we will talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Really, this is, it's human lives that are being messed with. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, where you at, Gary?
Hey, what's happening?
Another day in Happy Valley.
Happy Valley, I hear you, man. So what's going on?
You know, just trying to, honest to God, I don't know, Gary. I don't know how you surrender your way to peace and freedom.
Yeah.
And what happened in the House today, you know, party line vote, and see, I know what the talking point will be, Gary, when they start their stuff in the Senate. I can almost predict without even having to get out the moth-eaten robe with the moon and stars on it and the cracked magic eight ball. I know that the for-profit media will be out there saying, clearly, Barack Obama does not have the persuasive power with the opposition in Congress that he had with the American people. Is the honeymoon over? I mean, you can hear it, right?
What? They were never married. How can the honeymoon be over?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, this is all presupposed, because it's all imagery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the problem really is, and I kind of noticed this, and I was thinking about this, you know, long before, you know, we talked about this before. I mean, you talked about it at length prior to the election. I think now that he's the president, everybody's kind of so focused on, you know, the stimulus package. But, you know, we talked about this at length. There's certain things that Bush and the people and the people who voted for him, and there's still a large amount of dumbass Americans who are in this country who still are not going to be constructing the type of America that we want and that we're hoping for. And we're still going to have some residual effects. It's going to take a lot longer than it should, and there's still going to be obstructionists. They're going to continue to do what they have been doing, because their whole goal is an America that's different than, you know, the one that me and you and other people listening to these progressive networks looking for. So there's no fight. The fight is not over just because.
Oh, no. And that was not what I was suggesting. But there's
a. Because I said before, I said it's something that I felt should have happened years ago. I mean, why are we such primitive that that's some great accomplishment, you know? I'm happy for it, but then the other side of me is like, you know, we as a nation got a long, long, long way to go. Long way, brother. We got a long way to go, man.
Yeah, I can't even see around the other end of the curve.
From a linguistic standpoint,
Gary, there's
yeah, everybody thinks this little stimulus bill, because that's all it is, a little stimulus bill is going to change the direction of this country, and it's just not. It's up to us to change, you know, the direction. That's my opinion.
Well, no, you're right. you're right, Gary. But it's a, I guess it's a benchmark. Is that fair to say? Are you hearing me, Gary? Gary? I hope I'm not having phone problems. Gary, are you there? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll go back to hold, Gary, and we'll sort out what's going on here. Let me see if this is a phone problem on my end. Hey, welcome to the program.
Corey Feldman VHS tape could do a better job than Harry Reid.
Ooh! Ouch!
Yeah. Can I just say one thing so people understand this? Is that I'm going to give you guys an analogy. In the hip-hop world, if you mention someone's name, you're giving them promotion. That's why a lot of people in hip-hop don't mention someone's name in interviews, because you're giving them promotion.
There you go.
And that's how a battle beef starts. Now, you know where I'm going with this, Bob.
I do. And so don't think I haven't thought about it.
So I'll say it for you. Why the hell did Barack Obama actually mention the R word in a meeting? Why? What? You don't win. You lose. You lost already. Did you see what's on his site now? He's got a counter petition. You see how this works? This is why you stay away from this crap. It's that simple. Stay away from it. You're not going to win. You're going to lose. Because all that matters is the branding of his name.
Yeah.
And whether it's negative or positive, that's all that matters.
And you know, there are old rules, you know, not putting down your analogy, David, I'm agreeing with it. But there are old rules that predate all of that. And one of them is, and it's hard for some people to get their minds around, there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Exactly.
I mean, if I'm the oxymoron, man, I'm knee deep in the stuff right now and loving it. Because, you know, here I am, you know, I'm talking about it. Shame on me.
Yeah.
But we do have to talk about it because this is contextual stuff, David.
Oh, you can talk about it without mentioning his name because it really goes for anyone. Here's another example, Bob. Why is it that our media icons, our figureheads, they fall for this crap constantly? You know who Bill Maher is gonna be having a debate with?
Oh no.
Oh yes. Oh yes, Bob. Oh yes.
Oh no.
It's that woman. And I'm not gonna say her name because I'm not gonna brand. You can think of any woman. It could be Mary Madeline. It could be the blonde girl. It could be the
It could be any of the attack blondes.
That's right. It could be anybody. But you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. He's going to actually have a scheduled debate with her. What the hell is up with these people?
To what end? To what flippin' end?
At least have somebody who is relevant and intelligent and not full of hate. There's plenty of people in the wings. Well, maybe not plenty, but you know what?
No, I copy.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, look, if the Obama people are listening, this is the new relay message that we're sending them to them. Stop mentioning pundits' names. Don't do it again. They're going to use you. That's the bottom line.
Caveat.
Yeah.
Don't do it unless you do it fully prepared. Or don't do it unless you do it for your own reasons.
Right.
See, I mean, this goes, some of this, and I know it drives people crazy when I mention it, that some people in the liberal community, some of this stuff goes back to Clinton. Okay? And I'm not faulting him. But I remember when that person was mentioned by name by Bill Clinton. And it got him, that's what pushed him up to $20 and $25 million a year. And you know what? $40 million a year, which we thought was pretty obscene, you know, your own Gulfstream jet and a 26,000 square foot mansion, you know, inhabited by you and a cat.
Yeah.
It's going to go to 50 or 55 or 60 now.
I got a perfect symbolism for all of this. Right now, we're having one of the biggest snowstorms on the Northeast. We're being snowed in with these pseudo conservatives. And it, and it's appropriately, they're all white. So you see, so I mean, it really boggles me the fact that, here's an example. I watched that video with Barbara Boxer, and they were doing the hearing or talking about the coal ash dump thing. I know you probably saw that video.
Yep.
Okay. They spent time on that, and they decided to come up with the congressional committee decided to actually spend time on what? What did they spend time on? They spent time on a petition for who? Do they want to promote his radio show? Is that what we're getting at? Because if they want to promote his radio show.
But wait, what did I say a minute ago, David? What did I say?
Yeah.
Never do this unless you have something in the works.
That's right.
Okay, guess what I got today?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm all plugged into these the emails. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's right here. Yeah, there it is. It is from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Yeah.
With me so far?
Yeah.
Guess what they want?
What do they want?
Money.
Yeah.
In point of fact, the way this works is Democrats launch petition against boop after firing back at Obama. And you know what follows that?
Yeah.
We can't beat them without your money. Please send your money now to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Oh, it's so sickening. And you know what's even more sickening? You see what the new headline at ABC? They planned this. They orchestrated this. Did you see the new headline?
No.
The CIA chief accused of raping two Muslim women.
Oof, missed that.
Yeah, if you go to ABC, I'm sure someone can link you in the chat room. You think that's a coincidence after Obama was talking nice to the Arabic press? I don't think so. That story's been there since October. They just released that today. I can't imagine why. You know why? I'll tell you why. They want to foment another 9/11 attack. They want to hype up the fear again. Somebody in the CIA doesn't like Obama. They could have released that in October. And not to mention, it would have made Bush.
They couldn't have released it in October because of the information clampdown that the Bush administration had on them. I just found this thing. Let me back up. Let me just share this so people won't think I'm just making stuff up.
Okay.
This is the email I got from Brian Wolf at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. All right. He's the executive director. Dear friend, last week, boop, gave us a preview of the outrageous Republican attacks that are on the way against President Obama and every Democrat working for change. Boop, actually said that he hopes President Obama fails to meet America's challenges. Listen to boop in his own words saying, I hope he fails. Share this note on your Facebook profile and help spread the word. We're only 2,400 signatures away from reaching our goal. Your post could help put us over the top. Boops! Cheap shot at President Obama. Might be the first by the Republican attack machine this year, but we know that it won't be the last. We need every grassroots Democrat to show boop and all of the Republicans what they're up against if they start attacking President Obama and Democrats who are working to end the failed GOP policies of the last 8 years. Tell boop what you think of his attacks on President Obama. We'll send him your comments. Jobs, health care, our place in the world. The stakes for our nation are high, and every American needs President Obama to succeed. Creating real change requires every American stand strong against boops attacks and all of the other partisan attacks from desperate Republicans that are on the way. Let's start right here and right now. Brian Wolf. And you know what? I don't disagree with any of that, but at least let's have a little bit of honesty here.
Yeah.
Every time one of these things comes out from some national politician or national political group and you go and it used to be just, you know, send an email to and that way they would harvest your email. And the next thing you know, you get 15 of these things a day begging you for $50 or $25, whatever you can afford. Well, now they're leveraging the social networking stuff, David. And now it's about getting access to your Facebook page, your MySpace page, your Twitter, so that they can then get their messaging out. And later, when they decide to ramp up the calls for money, that they've got instantaneous access to literally millions of people. And again, that's not to say that I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I'd like a little bit more. What's the word of the day? Transparency on it.
Well, you know, one of the things that keeps striking me when they do these petitions and they put up these issues at a whim's notice, when we're banging down the door on other issues, is they just don't care about our time and energy.
But you know to go back to your meteorological metaphor, David, what a perfect storm it is for boop, because on the one hand, he's got the Democrats giving him all the free publicity he can stand.
Oh my Lord.
And on the other end, he's got an undisciplined, hardcore, right-wing, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing member of the conservative caucus of the House who, you know, stepped off the reservation. That's a bad term, but I do it anyway. Long enough to say that he's a little bit sick of boop. And the next thing you know, the little bastard's on boop's show. Apologizing to him, say, I sure am sorry I stuck my foot in my mouth that away.
Oh, man. That guy. See, I'm not even going to mention their names. I'm not going to mention
anything. Well, I've already done the legwork. Everybody knows what beep means.
Yeah. But, you know, paying attention to the counter petition, his counter petition is, of course, naturally more successful than the Democrats. You see how this works?
Right.
Why can't people get this?
Because everybody hasn't figured out yet, David, because I haven't gotten to them. God knows I'm trying. But they haven't figured out yet that when you're dealing with boop and, you know, Sean boop and Bill O boop and the rest of the boops, they don't realize that you're dealing with liars. They're freaking liars. They just are. I mean, there's no way to be nice about it and say, well, you know, they're prevaricating the truth a little bit. No, they're liars. And, you know, if you went and you tried to track down everybody who signed boop's petition,
yeah,
half of them don't exist. Probably two-thirds of them don't exist. They just don't. They're not real. But we wouldn't dare do something like that because, well, that would be political dirty tricks.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be nasty like they're nasty.
It wasn't but here's the thing that's insulting about it. You have all of this happening in this country right now. And you could have picked a numerous amounts of issues. But you want to go after a radio DJ? What? What?
Well, a long time ago,
yeah,
there was a columnist in Washington, D.C. I think he wrote for the Post, maybe. His name was Drew Pearson. And Harry Truman. You know, this is history stuff. This is I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm sitting behind a microphone in the up a holler in West Virginia. And, you know, I went to a progressive media summit last week where I got referred to as a booger-eating hillbilly. But I'm sitting here behind this microphone, and I know that in 1948 or some such, Drew Pearson, the nasty little columnist, newspaper, you know, there was no talk radio back then. There was no network television, you know. No, he was just a newspaper columnist, and he wrote something snarky about Harry Truman's daughter's piano playing. And Harry Truman called him a son of a bitch. Mr. President, what did you think about what Drew Pearson said about your daughter's piano skill? Well, he's a son of a bitch. You know what Drew Pearson did? He turned around and started the Drew Pearson SOB Club. And guess what? He won.
Yeah.
And for any little the political acolyte out there who's just getting his or her feet wet in the political process, some old white-headed fella or woman will pull them aside at some point when they want to lash out at some ass in the press who has delivered some Jeremy ad against them and say, son, let me explain one of the basic rules to you. You can't fight a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. And the same thing goes with a guy who pushes electrons by the gigabyte, or someone else who pushes his own radio wave by 50 kilowatt clear channels all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You lose the minute it's like what's that old line? Maybe they don't have it in Maine. They got it down in Alabama and here in West Virginia. There's an old line about wrestling hogs. When you get in and you wrestle with a hog, you both get muddy and the hog likes it.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the thing that really gets me about Obama, and I think this is a good good way to look at it. Obama thinks he's going to play chess, and that guy wants to play lynchman instead of hangman.
Well, right. You know, there's that thing I closed the program with last night where, once again, Bill O'Reilly's out there trying to make to make Michelle Obama out to be some radical member of the fifth Black Panther column. Literally sitting there while Juan Williams compares her to Stokely Carmichael, you know, just to scare the white folks.
Do you really think we have some Democrats and some people in the Obama administration listening right now? I hope so.
Nah, you'd like to hope, but
I like to think so, and I like to think that they don't realize that we're picking on them or.
No, this is not about being mean to them.
Yeah.
This is delivered from a place of love and respect and adoration and knowing a little bit about this medium that apparently they don't know.
That's true. And before I go, Bob, one thing we need to do, what happens when the snowstorm, is we need to get out the snow plow and we need to get out the snow blower and clear all of these obstacles out of our way. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe in someone's psyche they like battling with these people and they like getting in these situations that they can't get out of in Washington D.C. I don't know, because maybe it just
It's a little like Afghanistan, David.
Yeah.
Because in both of these instances, it is a battle that history says you can't win. But somebody who is highly motivated is always challenged to think, well, you know, I'm the guy who can. You know, no, we're not winning in Afghanistan because George Bush was an idiot. Well, we're not winning in Afghanistan because nobody's ever won in Afghanistan. You can't win in Afghanistan, all right? Alexander the Great couldn't do it. And you know what? The same thing applies to boop. Not because he's boop, but because of where he sits.
Right.
Barack Obama does not have 3 hours a day to sit down and have a highly partisan conversation with the nation. On the other hand, boop, is paid $40 million a year to have that conversation. And this is the part of that process that it's just hair-tearingly maddening, David, when I realize how hard. You know, not just the horn,
yeah,
but Nova M and every other liberal out there trying to do this for the benefit of the liberal movement has to struggle to survive. This is not the pitch portion of the program. This is the
right.
Jesus, if you would just understand what it is we're doing here and how necessary it is, because there's you. we had that statistic 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago. Do you remember, David? What is it? For every hour of talk radio that is done by a liberal in any given day in America, there are 1,000 or 2,000 hours of right-wing hackery to overwhelm it. I mean, you want to talk about your David and Goliath stuff? Woof!
I think it seems to me that we have a lot of people in the Democratic Party who are so scared to lead that they'll sabotage themselves so they don't have to lead. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. as scary as that seems, that we actually have people in that mind state, that's how I see it to me. I mean, we'll see when they go and they meet again for whatever bills and the stimulus that they're trying to pass and any of that, but I don't know, it just seems to me that they're not ready to lead yet. Because they're terrified. They don't know what to do. They don't have that many. I guess they don't look back in history that much. They need to start looking at some archive footage to get them inspired again.
Yeah, or maybe they just need to listen to the people who are doing this work out there.
And you know what also wouldn't hurt is the fact if they actually got on the ground with people like Kate with like what's his name, John Wayman, the United Mountain Defense, the Coal River Mountain Watch, people like that. If you actually got on the ground with real people, rather than people who just want to kiss your ass for a free dinner plate, I don't know. I think it makes a difference. I think it would make their lives a big difference too.
Well, you know, look at if we have honest conversations, if we understand that being Democrats and liberals, some of us are more liberal than others, and that we can these are the people that we can have disagreements with without being disagreeable.
Right.
Not the other side. You have to be, and I'm sorry, but it's just true. You have to be disagreeable with a repig licking because a repig licking is going to come at you from a disagreeable place. Otherwise, you're going to wind up in the waller with the pig, and you're going to wind up covered in poo, and between the two of you, only the pig's going to like it.
And that definitely is no solution. Well, I'm going to let you get on to your next caller, Bob, and I just wanted to...
Well, thank you for raising so many important issues, David. I do appreciate it.
Well, it's not a problem. I mean, it really does get to me the fact that we have to have these discussions like this when they should really be on a conference call to all the Democrats in D.C. right now.
Yeah, but see, they think they're smarter than us.
Well, it's
and
not
so we don't, and so we won't get on that conference call.
You know what? It's not the issue of who's smarter or not. It's an issue of someone else's insight, how they perceive things. And if you're so stuck on one lens of perception, well, look, we go back to that snowed-in analogy.
Yeah. And what else happens when you're snowed in? Eventually, you start eating your own.
Yeah, eventually you start eating your own.
You know, it's all, then it's that plane crash in the Andes, and it just doesn't end well.
Yeah.
Well, David, take care.
No problem, Bob.
Later.
Later.
Bye. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Diana over in Olympia.
Oh, hey, Diana. How are you?
I've got a bad cold.
Oh, I hope you get over it soon.
Oh, it's just one of those hanger-on things. But I just wanted to call and talk about that Uyghur program.
Yes, you saw that?
I saw part of it. It was just really depressing.
Heartbreaking.
Huge building they built to put those 15 guys that, or 17 guys in, that was just no...
That are no threat.
Concrete cell.
Yeah, and what do you remember, what did they call it? An above-ground dungeon?
Yeah, it looked like a big salt box house without a roof, made out of concrete. But it was no windows, just that little corner opening. And the cells were just horrible. And they didn't, one guy got even his sheet taken away from him. But the thing I was concerned about was those guys, why were they, in the beginning, did you see why that one gentleman who they focused on, why he was in Pakistan or along the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan from China? What was he looking for? He had left Southeast China. Was it to get work?
That may have been, or they may have. It was unclear. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was made unclear. Purposefully, I think. But regardless, I mean, he was just part of the grab and hold type mentality. They just grabbed him because he was there, or they were, or he was fingered as being an other. You know, he wasn't one of the guys that were there, and they could make money on him for turning him in to the Americans. And that's what I think is just, you know, I don't know. But, you know, you guys have, David's got to get lightened up a little. Because, you know, I think Harry Reid will try to pass this. How come you think Harry Reid won't pass this? And do you think they want to renegotiate another bill?
No, I think Harry Reid won't be able to. Harry Reid doesn't even have control of his entire Democratic caucus. Okay.
Well, I mean, he's got to pass it. Maybe Obama will come in there and say, "Hey, you're going to pass this."
And the but the structure of our government, Diana, is such that the Senate and the minority in the Senate can say, "Like heck, we will."
Yeah, but
I
heard about 4 to 8 senators might come over, but I don't know if you heard that.
But there have to be 60 in order to stop the John Cornyns and the Mitch McConnells and that dirty crowd from filibustering.
And why would they do that? I mean, the people, most people want this. Don't they?
Why did 188 Republicans vote against it in the House?
Because they're, you know what? Because they,
and they're no less that in the Senate. And Harry Reid is not the guy to crack a whip over their heads.
I listen to, they think that it's going to pass the Senate. That's why I was surprised when you said that about Reid not being able to pass.
I'm going by his prior record. Now, see, I remember the Employee Free Choice Act, which yet remains the single most important piece of legislation that may be considered by this Congress. It passed the House of Representatives by an overwhelming margin. It died in the Senate.
Yeah, but because Harry Reid, Democrats are there now.
Well, when Franken gets there, we will have 59 votes if they all get in line. You got to remember, some of those 59 votes are people like Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who would rather climb a tree and vote with a Republican than stand on the ground and vote the Democrat that he is, or at least claims to be.
Louisiana, she's not really.
Mary Landrieu, sure. Blanche Lincoln, David Pryor from Arkansas. Shoot, I don't even trust my,
what would
Lord,
their reasoning be for turning it down? Because, I mean, this is,
well, because Diana, they're conservative Democrats, and, you know, they represent a population that don't want no welfare giveaways, because Southerners work for everything they get.
Yeah, well, you're lucky to have been exposed to that culture. I'd love to go down there someday. But I also read it, I'm popping
great
around,
food, lousy politics. That.
I know I couldn't hear you, but I heard that we actually need $2.2 trillion for this to really take hold and turn around the economy. Have you read that?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I've seen mentions of various trillion-dollar figures, Diana, and at this point my eyballs are just swimming.
To fail banks, you know?
Yeah. But
they're banking for like 30 some years, and let me tell you, it's not easy keeping your job even when you've been there a long time.
No.
This is one of the better banks. I mean, not better, but this is one of the banks that supposedly did the right thing more or less with the subprime. And you probably read about it today, but. Anyhow, I'm just really concerned about this thing not passing, and I just hope it does pass. And I reiterate also about the Uyghur deal. That was just horrific, and to see those people, those 5 guys just wandering around Albania. I mean, that creates all these guys to hate America.
There you go.
But anyhow.
And we figure it out, but we've got. But you know what? I said something to Guy James the other day, Diana, when we were in D.C. and we were walking around all those magnificent buildings. And I said, maybe if you lived here and you worked here every day, you'd be a little more paranoid. Maybe if you had worked in the rubble of the World Trade Center, you'd be a little bit more leery, and you'd err on the side of never let this happen again. And that might cause you to make some questionable calls and some questionable judgments. Maybe that, you know, just trying to view things in the light most.
Paranoid?
Pardon?
Or becoming more open. Because I think Obama talking to Al Arabiya was trying to be more open with the Arab world.
Oh, I'm not saying that was more paranoid. I'm saying that, you know, if you lived in that environment for the last 8 years, maybe you would have been.
Paranoid?
Maybe you would have been more paranoid. But, you know, no.
I don't think these guys all have cushy jobs. I think they did it purely out of spite, those House Republicans. And I think the reason that we got to just keep at them is, you know, it's always been that way. There's the haves and the have-nots. And even though my husband's a baker, we're really not haves. We're just middle class, you know?
Right.
But I'm just praying every day to a God I'm not sure exists that we shall overcome these assholes. And pardon my French, but I heard you swear, and so I'm going
to
swear.
That's okay. That's okay. I try to let callers do it more than I do. But yeah.
I want to tell you I love you guys, and you are a genius at making me laugh. Well, you have a good day.
Well, bless your heart, Diana. I hope I can, and you know I appreciate. I don't hear from you very much, but I love it when I do.
Thank you.
You take care.
You too. Bye
bye. Diana calling from Washington State. I do. When you guys don't call in very often, I begin worrying about you. I know you think I'm BSing you, but really, honest to goodness, I'm not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, I don't know what happened to me. I got cut off.
Well, what happened? I was talking and you couldn't hear me.
Yeah. I was trying to respond back. As I said, you know, I was trying to set up, and I said, well, you weren't saying anything. I'm like, well, let me just keep talking. Maybe he's waiting for me. But I was like, you know, I was hoping. I said, well, I hope Bob responds to what I'm saying. And then I started to realize I was not even connected anymore.
Well, I was hearing you, but you couldn't hear me for some reason or another. But, to go back to where we were, Gary, I was trying to say that there is a preposition involved in all of this, and that preposition is until. And I'm waiting to see where that word gets used. At what point we will put up with this kind of conduct from these obstructionist Republicans until? And what is the prepositional phrase that follows until? What is the watermark? Is it a family of seven in a murder-suicide pact in Los Angeles? Is it a 93-year-old World War II veteran frozen to death in Michigan? What is the until moment for Democrats to finally stand up and start understanding what a bunch of malevolent punks the other side are?
See, I don't think it's going to happen, because I think the problem is they're so caught up in their own little, you know, their own little world, as, you know, you were talking about, and the whole self-interest part of it. I think Obama actually is not as self-interested as they are, maybe like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and some of the other Democrats. And I think that hopefully maybe somehow that he'll begin to separate. At least that's what I'm hoping for. I hope he doesn't get caught up in their, you know, their own self-interest politics, because it seems that they're just not getting the fact that there's a larger, broader problem. Republicans already know, and I think we already know, those guys are nothing but talking heads for corporations and a certain level of business people. They have no interest in the American people at all. And I'm going to tell you something, Bob. I've been on a lot of boards lately, you know, just bouncing around. A lot of the Republicans, the people who used to vote for them, are catching on. I mean, the Democrats did everything they could to destroy the Democrats' chances this year, and we still won by a landslide. And the reason why I'm saying this is that the Republicans are on a self-defeating path. Their policies don't work, and there's nothing they can do to change it. So I don't think there's much the Democrats really have to do. You know, in my opinion, I think the Republicans are going to just show who they are, and I think eventually it'll be revealed for what they are. That's the optimistic point of view of it.
and it is optimistic, and I don't fault you for it, Gary. But while we're waiting for the American people to figure this out and waiting for that until moment, what happens to this country? I mean, granted, the Republicans may obstruct themselves into such a hole that they almost disappear as a political force in the 2010 off-year elections, the congressional elections. History does not support that thesis. Off-year elections are bad for sitting presidents, traditionally. But if it does happen and we get 70 members of the United States Senate who call themselves Democrats, and then we have to spend, then we have 1 year, Gary. Then we have 1 year to get all of this done, because Obama will already be campaigning for his second term, and there will be no bold political, there never is. There is no bold political action in years 3 and 4 of a first-term president.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident that the way things are going, I'm just looking at the broader perspective of it, you know, as you are as well, is that I think that the Democrats are pretty much are in the driver's seat, are going to continue to be in the driver's seat. I think that if Obama wasn't there, somebody is smart and you want to call him a Jedi mind tricks or whatever, I think that pretty much what's happening right now, he's letting them play their hand. He's doing what he has to do as a politician to let the other side hear the side. Remember, it's only a week. Let them get their little thing out or whatever. Obama's probably thinking this bill and knows that this bill does not have to pass right now, even though he's pushing like it does. He probably knows. And when I looked at the plan from what I saw, a lot of stuff doesn't go in effect until, like you said, a year, 2 or 3 years down the line. So I'm thinking that he's playing on a different speed than they are. They, you know what I mean? It's almost like he's making everybody think that everything has to be done right now, when he knows that his real goal is to push it further down along the line. This thing is not going to get fixed quickly.
I understand that, but there's enough, and I'm not just gainsaying the ideas you're putting forward, Gary. But you're raising these issues, and they do have two sides. For instance, and just for instance, in the debate over this so-called stimulus bill that was passed by the House on a pure party-line vote, there's been some statistical analysis about how it has been advanced, the debate on it, in the for-profit media. Media Matters for America has now documented, and you know, they do good numbers, okay? They really do try to be neutral in this stuff. Weirdo right-wing Republicans outnumber Democrats 2 to 1 on various and sundry cable news channels, you know, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, Bloomberg, that kind of stuff. 2 to 1. That's the average, okay?
Yeah.
That means that people who are normal and are members of Congress and are advocating for the stimulus bill to be passed, they're outgunned by babbling, controversy-creating, obfuscating right-wingers. And that's all of them. I mean, this is Fox News Channel, Fox Business, MSNBC, CNN, and CNBC. Every one of those networks is presenting a biased view of the stimulus bill.
Yeah, but there's two things. Number one, let's start. They want the show, but they need the fight. They need the prize fight. They need the that's what they do. That's their job. We have a very kind of carnivorous type of media. I mean, they want to fight. That's number one. You know, just put a show of it and get people watching ratings or whatever they want to call them. But then it's the other side. They do look out for corporate interests. I mean, that's what they're about. So, to some degree, I'm not as overly, I won't say I'm not overly concerned. It's just like I almost accept that that's what they're going to do. And I almost feel like I don't have the power to change them from doing it. What I do have the power to change is some other things that I do in my life, and I think that we do in our lives. And I think the stuff that you do here on the horn and stuff like that, I think we just have to retrain everybody else to say, look, we need to look at other progressive outlets. No ways of thinking.
Lord knows I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, Gary. because there's no fairness in the debate that's taking place in the for-profit media, and that's great for the people who have. I mean, no, that's not great. It's great that people who have, for instance, high-speed internet, can get another side of the debate. But it's if you follow any of this stuff, you'll find out that if you want to consider one of the greatest inequitable divides in America today, one of those social chasms, the haves and the have-nots on high-speed internet are profound, wide, deep, and demographically plain as day in terms of the racial demographics. So the fact that there's information out there, something like the horn, what you mentioned, it's a great tool, but it has to get to people first. And right now there's a whole bunch of Americans who might be our natural allies who aren't getting it. Not just the horn, but the blogs, you know, the Bart Cops and the Morning Constitutions and the Buzz Flashes, the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website, all of these things. There's millions of people who do not have any access to it whatsoever.
Well, you also, you know, you're looking at these big companies, you look at New York Times, the number of divisions that I've been reading about, their whole divisions are tanking. I mean, they can't get their news out. I mean, they're you know, and these people who are people who learned to monetize this stuff years over end, but when it came to the internet and this online thing, no one has been able to monetize it, at least from what I see on a steady diet. I mean, if you were able somehow to figure out how to monetize what you're doing, and beyond just a subscription of people, you know, like myself or whoever, who can give from time to time, because that's really just not enough. You really do need, unfortunately, some kind of major entity, not maybe a corporate sponsorship. You know what I'm saying? But you need some kind of big mama, papa industry to just back you. For those
and the thing is, those organizations exist, Gary.
Yeah, well, we know they exist, but they're not going to. They're going to appropriate their funds again toward their own self-interest. They don't have a broader perspective.
Well, but I know. But the saddest thing out of what you've just observed is that those organizations exist, and they exist and call themselves liberal and go around talking about the need for liberal perspective while people on the Internet do this for love, patriotism, whatever, and starve. But, you know, you don't know the right people, so you stand in the rain. And I'm not just talking about me. There have been doors shut in the faces of people far better than me, as well as me. So you've identified the fundamental problem, the basic issue where this is concerned. But right now the beauty is that these things are being maintained as an act of popular will. You know, when you contribute to the horn or anybody else, A, it is profoundly appreciated, but B, I don't know if we ever drive home the point that what it constitutes is an act of popular will. It literally is a function of uprising. And that is brilliant and beautiful. But the question with any uprising is to keep it rolling.
Well, Obama wouldn't be where he is if he didn't have an internet funding machine.
Right, which he built on the back of what Howard Dean did in 2004.
Exactly. And see, that's where it comes from, if anybody notices, is that that was a system, and that's the whole key to this whole thing, is that if there's a major push for progressive thought process or whatever, the thing that really can save this country, it's going to have to come through some kind of defractured, you know, internet entity. I already know that. I mean,
yeah, bottom up and bottom up stuff. You know, there's a lot. That's one of those phrases that's in big coinage right now. Bottom up instead of top down.
Yeah, I think what a Barack Obama would do if he probably wouldn't do this, but if somehow, and I think people should have a meeting with him. I've been thinking about this, and I may even push this myself, and because I've been thinking about getting more involved in certain things. You know, as he said, and say, look, you need to have an entity separate from the government. You know what I mean? A big organization, just like you had, you know, to push your campaign through, that is separate from the government, that is progressive and follow kind of your ideals, and that you should come in, give face time, and give credence to this organization. If he just did that, you know what I mean? That could send the whole movement into the stratosphere.
Absolutely. And you know what? You'll find out if that idea is getting any traction this way. I can't count them offhand, but I think there were at least four or five George W. Bush call-ins, to that OxyContin junkie over the course of 8 years. And there were probably three or four more call-ins by Joe Biden. And they were set up to Dick Cheney. Oy, what's wrong with me? I was thinking about, but anyway, so, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 call-ins between the chief executive and the guy who's number two in charge, to that drug junkie. When Barack Obama or Joe Biden starts doing just sort of down home phone calls, hey, how you doing? Thought I'd see what was going on today, to the leading light, liberal talkers, you'll know that somebody is actually figuring out the message. You know, when that call goes out to Tom Hartman, we'll know. When that call goes out to Randy or Malloy, we'll know. That call ain't coming to Bob Kincaid, I promise you. And I there's an odd chance that that call might go to Guy James, and that would be so cool. But
he's reached out to some I don't want to call them friends, but on smaller during the campaign. I mean, he went out to some of the conservatives, I guess, just trying to reach out to the edge, And if he can go to Rick Warren and some of these other then why can't he reach out to the far, far left, so to speak, if that's what you want to call it. I don't really consider myself far left.
Right. Neither one of us came into this conversation whistling the Internationale, now, did we? But yeah, you're exactly right, Gary.
I think when he does that, I do think he's going to need a major organization that, because he's all big about this BlackBerry and staying in touch. So I don't think that he would be that apprehensive into doing that. Because first of all, he won't be accountable totally for that organization because he's somewhat separate from it. But by the same token, it would give him a good, kind of like a focus group or a good testing system to say, okay, here are the issues. Because I think he's going to eventually, I think it's going to start to sit in with him. That self-interest stuff is going to eventually start to weigh on him. I mean, it's only a week now, but 2 or 3 months down the line, these Republicans and the Democrats too, he's going to start looking at these people and say, you're some of the selfish bastards I've ever seen in my life. You're not thinking about the American people. And I really think he has that kind of heart. I do. I really do. I think.
Well, I saw in a way a little bit of what something that resembles maybe what you just described. Did you see his comments about D.C. getting iced over?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
The Obama coming out and saying, we're going to have a little talk about this weather business. D.C. needs a little bit of. A little bit of Chicago toughness. We don't close schools when it snows.
Yeah. Now I'm here in the D.C. area, so I know. Even when I went to inauguration, I mean, people were just, in local D.C. was just like whining. I'm like, pull your freaking clothes, come out. This is a celebration of Bush leaving. What are you talking about? It's too cold. It's never too cold to celebrate Bush leaving.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
But cold, like you said, they said would be a cold day in hell when a black man get.
It was damn cold, wasn't it?
And it was damn cold. I was thinking, this must be a cold day because I damn sure been through hell for the last, last 8 years of that fool in office. But I just want to say, but I think the thing with Obama has in it that's working for him is George Bush, and that he can't do any worse than Bush. He just can't. The country's going to go into a major tailspin. You can't stop that. But I think the Democrats ultimately are going to still be in a good place 4 and even 8 years from now. I'm not really so much concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what we're going to get through. I know we're going to get through a lot of good stuff, but I'm like, how much can we get through? I'm not really worried about the Republicans. I hear them crying. I know they're like, to me, they're just really powerless now. They have nothing to say. I ain't listening to them, and nobody's listening to them. Look at the state of the country right now. Nobody's listening to them. I don't care what the news media can put them on TV all day long. And if the American people are so dumb to stop listening to them again, then Bob, it ain't worth anything anyway. We might as well just go to Canada.
Speaking of cold,
the people have seen it.
Yeah.
And I think we just have to just keep trotting along, man, and just, I'm not saying we shouldn't call him out on everything because, if he doesn't start indicting people for war crimes, I'm going to be on their back as well.
Yeah, that CIA dude who said he wanted the Uyghurs from China to have quality time with their interrogators at Guantanamo. We can start with that guy. I mean, talk about the banality of evil. Made me crazy.
Wait, what about Eric Holder? They say he came out, they talk about he's promised Republicans he's not going to do something. I'm like, you don't promise anything. You're an attorney general. You don't owe them crap. When you get nominated, I don't care if you have to lie to them, tell them, say, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do anything. But once you become attorney general, it is your duty to follow the law. You're not cutting no backroom deals. I mean, this is kind of stuff that really gets me infuriated, not with the Democrats or the Republicans. It's that Washington backroom crap. Well, you know, I'll vote for them and put you in if you don't indict somebody. What the hell is that about?
I know.
You know? So, it's like, you know, I mean, that's the type of stuff that really infuriates me, more so than this other stuff, is that just these Washington people are so self-interested that they're not even, they don't want to follow the law, you know, they won't check the banks when they take money from us. You know, it's all like, well, I'm just concerned that, you know, I might not get reelected, you know, and then they end up not getting reelected.
And they turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy, exactly. Gary, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad we could complete the conversation.
Okay, no
problem. Bye now. Calling from Maryland, our good buddy Gary. Wow, you guys have got it rocking. I hope there's still people here. Nope. Okay, lines are clear. Wow, we've been through a few. Lines are clear, so if you want to stack them up again, we got another hour to get through. This is, of course, America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn, and, you know, it would be kind of charming to think that someone's listening, paying attention. This is not the ego stroking. We're not care. You don't call in, and I don't respond, and we don't listen. We don't share because of some innate need to just, that's just too gross, but you know what I mean. This is what liberals do. We process. We don't carry water, and we don't do lockstep. We process. You know, Gary mentioned Obama and his BlackBerry. Already, I mean, you want to talk about new media? You got an iPhone? Already, you can go and get a little gadget at the iPhone store that'll let you listen to iTunes Radio on your iPhone. Ooh, how's that? And you know what you can listen to on iTunes Radio? You can listen to the horn. You can listen to it in your car. Just like the old buggy whip style terrestrial radio, you can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it at your desk at work. And unless I'm mistaken, I believe that also applies to the Nokia system, I believe Ben told me. But, you know, we need to expand it. We need to expand that onto the AT&T network, the Sprint network, the Nextel, whatever, the BlackBerry network. And it's not that complicated a process. And eventually, the Internet will do to terrestrial radio, and already is, what it has done to old-style print newspapers. It not only can happen, it will happen. And I guarantee double T you that the horn is going to hang on for dear life to be there when it happens. Fair enough? I hope so. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Like I said, America's listener-supported liberal voice. That's exactly what we are. And we're staying right here.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
So as we go into the third and final hour of this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On, let's review. In Los Angeles, an entire city is mourning the senseless death of 7 people. A man, his wife, 2 sets of twins, and 1 more child. All dead in a murder-suicide following both parents' termination, firing, as technicians at Kaiser Permanente's West Los Angeles facility. Upon showing up for work in December, Mr. Lupo, the father of that family, was told, "You shouldn't even have shown up today. You might as well have just blown your brains out." A town still sits shocked in Bay City, Michigan, where the local power company allowed a 93-year-old World War II veteran to freeze to death over nothing more complicated than $1,000. Of unpaid bill, past due bill. And tonight, as you and I sit huddled, hopefully away from the cold on this prayer meeting night, Barack Obama is welcoming House and Senate leaders from both parties to the White House for cocktails as he continues to work on the stimulus bill. Even though the vote on the stimulus bill did not have a single, not one, Republican vote in favor, it did have a few Democrats vote against. Even so, President Obama is still convinced that he can make nicey with people who carry shivs in their boots. The Getting to Know You Better session was slated to get underway after the House voted 244 to 188 to approve the stimulus bill. And
The guests will include John Boner, Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, Mitch McConnell, and John Kyle, Republicans of Kentucky and Arizona, respectively. The Democrats will also be there. God, I hope them drinks are good going down. Let's go to the phones. Dave is calling from Canada. Hey, Dave, welcome back to the program.
Well, I've been a bit out of the loop for the last little while, and the world hasn't got any saner.
No, I don't think so.
Your disillusionment was kind of showing there a little, I think. There's just so much, isn't there? There's just so much.
Yeah, there is.
There's madness. You know, there's Gaza, there's the control over the media that's not letting anyone know about the Harriman coal spill, there's all the nonsense about stimulus bills that, you know, how can more debt solve the problem of debt? You know, there's just so much. It's almost to the point where you, I mean, I was getting a bit worried there. I thought you might not come back on because you were running out into the street screaming, because that's how I feel right now.
Lucky for me, I've got a microphone and I can scream into it. maybe not so lucky for y'all because you have to put up with it.
Well, no, the first time I ever called into you, I called because I can kind of sense the kind of frustration and whatever else goes on in my head in the way you talk about stuff, and that's why I keep coming back. Because it's just beyond belief. It's just almost impossible to process the madness for me at the moment.
It is. I spent a big chunk of my time last night, Dave, on at least trying to give memory to Mr. Schur of Bay City, Michigan. And I was sick unto weeping when I read about the Lupo family in Los Angeles as that story developed.
Well, as I said to you before, I lived in Sheffield in the UK before I came to Canada. And back when steel and coal went both together in a steel city and a coal mining area, when I came to Canada, unemployment had dropped to 27% in Sheffield. And people were jumping. It dropped to 27% before I came to Canada, yeah. That's how bad it was in the 80s. And in the northeast where the shipbuilding went as well, it was even worse. It was in the 40% in Sunderland at one point. And when I first came to Canada, people were saying recession, and I was saying, where the hell is it? You know, no clue of really how tough it can be. And people were jumping, and I've said for years, Margaret Thatcher is responsible for a lot of deaths in what she did for the economy. People who had steady jobs. Grandfather was down the mine. Father was down the mine. They're down the mine. It's a job for life, isn't it? So it doesn't matter if every night I've got is on credit. Oops. Suddenly Margaret Thatcher signs her name on a piece of paper and all the coal mines close. And people lost everything. If you ever get a chance to see a movie called Brassed Off, watch it. It's powerful stuff. There's a bit of comedy in it, but it's absolutely... At the end of the movie, is just so mad. And it's about the destruction of a community because the coal mine closed. And I saw plenty of this in the UK.
Yeah. And you've got a front row seat for seeing plenty more on this side.
I know. And it's scary to realize that the miners' strike in the 80s, okay, you know, I'm not a big fan of coal because of what it does to the place. That's not really the issue. It was the way the whole thing was perverted by the media. I've never respected the BBC since some of the stuff happened in there that I know about firsthand. And I know that the reporting was just so bent out of shape to suit whoever was calling the shots. It was just so obvious if you were in there close and personal. And then Sheffield became a police state, effectively, because the head of the miners' union headquarters were there. And there were plenty of pickets going on. And it was just educational, to say the least. You know?
Yeah.
So, the song by Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush, Don't Give Up. You know that one?
I don't think so.
That really is about that time when, and it's about a guy who's just got nothing left and he's thinking of jumping. He's standing on the bridge.
Well, you know, there are stories that get reported and stories that don't get reported, Dave.
Oh, I know.
I didn't bring up one that I read over the weekend. But I get these little emails from the West Virginia governor's office crowing about their latest accomplishments.
You're using the term loosely, I guess?
In all senses. And I got one, oh, I'd say 3, 4, 5 days ago with some spokescritter for the government and the governor ballyhooing the fact that they had uncovered $85,000 in unemployment compensation fraud.
You know, it's really interesting. While I've been over in the UK, interestingly, I discovered where I get a lot of my stuff from. I discovered that my mother is 84, is an anarchist, which is kind of interesting. We did a lot of talking for various reasons.
Well, if you can't come out and admit you're one of those at 84.
I just thought it was cool. Anyway, while I was over there, and there's all the stuff about, you know, all the bank stuff in England, just insane. I mean, look, it's insane everywhere. But all I kept seeing on television were ads asking people to report benefit fraud. And I thought, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union was criticized for trying to get neighbor to spy on neighbor.
Oh, we do that around here, too.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying anyone's...
If you see workers' compensation fraud, please call the Brick Street Insurance Company and report the fraud.
Yeah. If you see banking fraud, don't even bother picking up your quarter.
Well, yeah, there's that.
He thinks the playing field is far from level.
Well, you know, that's the thing. What constitutes unemployment fraud? You weren't really unemployed. You were taking money under the table.
Mm-hmm. And why was that? Because the guy at the other end...
Because there isn't sufficient unemployment compensation to make it possible for you to survive even long enough to find a damn job on it.
Oh, I know.
Sorry, not aiming that at you.
I know that. It's a bit like when you go into a store and you have to have a go at somebody, you know. I always say to them, look, I know it's not you. But you're the face that I'm dealing with, you know. I know what you mean. You're just kind of going off a little there. And, you know.
But, you know, it's never too late to be, it's never too late to treat the working class like crap.
I mean, just
as a way of getting this little bit of information out into the universe, so to speak. You know, Mr. Lupo said that he was told you shouldn't have even come to work today. You should have blown your brains out. And this apparently had to do something to do with an investigation for misrepresentation of employment to an outside agency for child care purposes. He ends his letter, Dave, with these words. Oh, Lord, my God, is there no hope for a widow's son? Well, Kaiser Permanente, being the kind and compassionate American corporation that it is, issued the following statement last night, saying that the company is, of course, and I quote, saddened by the despair in Mr. Lupo's letter faxed to the media, but we're confident that no one told him to take his own life or the lives of his family. While we may never fully understand why today's senseless deaths occurred. Everyone who worked with the Lupos is shocked and terribly saddened by the tragedy. It never should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
These were the other words that Mr. Lupo wrote. After a horrendous ordeal, my wife felt it better to end our lives. And why leave our children in someone else's hands? We have no job and 5 children under 8 years with no place to go. So, here we are.
There's nothing to say to that.
No, there kind of is.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about that. There's a lot to say to the corporation. No, I mean, there's no answer to the words that the guy uses.
Right. Because, see, that would be socialism if there was universally available health care for a mommy and a daddy who had to work like slaves to keep their family fed and clothed. I mean, these are 5 beautiful little children that the right-wingers, Dave, insist be born.
Yep. Because one day the army might need you to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But down at the
level of the real person, you just have to, you can't even imagine the kind of pain that the guy must have been in. You can't.
Because
if you can, you're going to do the same thing yourself.
His grandma said, every time I called, he was at work. He worked a lot, and even when I talked with him, he would be at work. And then I hear this. But see, it's okay with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell for this to happen. It's okay with 188 Republican members of the House of Representatives, Dave, for this to happen. It's okay.
Well, lots of things are okay.
You know, the Employee Free Choice Act back in 2006 that was killed by Mitch McConnell in the Senate of the United States and allowed to be killed by Harry Reid in the Senate of the United States.
There should be no question that...
might have remedied some of this.
Yeah, but there should be no question of the right of somebody to be in a union. It's beyond belief that anyone could conceive of passing a law that would make union membership difficult. Again, back to Sheffield. There's a museum of industry there, and it takes you back to when the Cutlers were small businesses. Just one guy would make the blades, another guy would put the handle on, you know, that kind of stuff. But then it all started to get consolidated. And in the factories, a knife grinder, if he was 35, was an old man. If a wheel hadn't exploded underneath him and spread him up the wall, or he hadn't inhaled so much steel and stone dust that his lungs were completely trashed, 35 is an old man. And they were the kind of conditions that led to the formation of the union. Hopefully, we don't have to get back quite that far before everyone wakes up.
But I worry about whether we do.
Well,
and by the way, the information management on the Lupo family continues. Mr. Lupo had a Facebook page where he described himself as a graduate of the University of Southern California. It's been disappeared, Dave. A spokeswoman for Facebook said, when it comes to our attention that a user has passed away, we put the profile in a memorial state. In the memorial state, certain profile sections and features are hidden from view to protect the privacy of the departed. What? The departed?
It's part of the corporate monster, so we will play along with the people who just spoke to us on the phone.
Yeah.
I think I'm fairly close there.
I think you're right on top of it. Warmer, warmer. Burning up!
Yeah. But this, you know, what really just I just find completely mind-boggling is that so few people are aware of this stuff. I was talking to John Fox one night. I said, I'm the kind of guy, I'll beat information into any head that doesn't run away fast enough. You know?
Yeah.
But I just...
Well, you know, last night we had in the story of Mr. Schur, we had the city manager of Bay City, Michigan, saying it was the neighbor's faults for not checking on him. And tonight we have the words of City Councilwoman Janice Hahn, who would have been the Lupo's representative on the L.A. City Council. And she said, no matter how desperate you are, no matter how frustrated you are, to think this was the only answer, to take your whole family with you in death, is just too much to understand. Well, it's only too much to understand if you don't want to try to understand, Dave. And the way that this was the only answer is because this is a nation that made for Mr. and Mrs. Lupo that the only answer.
You know,
there are countless thousands of hours of right-wing hate that boil and froth out over this entire nation every day that tell people that if they reach out for help in this country, that if they look to the government that they support to help them in a time of crisis, that they are weak and worthless. There's an entire political party dedicated to the proposition that anyone who does not grind themselves to dust on the capitalist wheel is a worthless individual who might as well be dead.
Well,
and that woman says it's too much to understand. She ain't trying, Dave.
Exactly. No, but the people who make the least effort are the ones who make the most gain. Who creates wealth? Who creates wealth?
Mr. and Mrs. Lupo. Mr. and Mrs. Lupo were creating wealth.
Exactly. The people who actually make real stuff are the ones that get it up the rear all the time. And the people who just stand there and watch it move about, the way words get taken over, the term anarchist has been taken over by the powers that be because it scares them to death, so they have to discredit it by making it mean chaos, which it doesn't. And socialism has gone the same way in North America, in America particularly, in the U.S. What the hell is wrong with somebody caring for somebody else? Tell me, please.
Sorry, I'm not the guy to give you that answer because I don't know it.
I'll let you know. I knew that.
You can tune in to that boiling, frothing river of poison that comes out of the public airwaves every day, and they'll give you answer after answer after answer for why caring about your fellow man is bad. Dave.
Not one of those answers that they'll give me is a good one, though.
Oh, no. It's all based on, well, frankly, manifestations of evil.
And they're the best at it.
Hear, hear. Well, Dave, I'm going to roll along and try to catch a couple more phone calls before we roll out on this prayer meeting edition. But I'm awfully glad to hear back from you. Like I said, I fret when we don't hear from folks.
Yeah, I just like to say things happened and I had to deal with them. Anyway.
I understand.
Good night.
You too, Dave.
We shall talk again soon.
Stay warm, my friend.
Keep doing it.
All right. Bye now. Dave calling from Canada. And we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you. Hey, Nanette.
Okay. I couldn't understand, but Dave sounded so far off on the speakers, I couldn't hear everything he said. But where you were talking about that city councilwoman, you know, talking about that man taking her family. You've heard the old saying, the good Lord don't put anything on you, any more on you than you can bear.
Yep.
I think this proves that that's not quite the case.
I think you're absolutely right. And for anybody who would say that, well, it's clear that Mr. and Mrs. Lupo had some mental health issues, what do you do when you are looking at the imminent starvation of your children in a country, Nanette, that doesn't give a tinker's damn about them?
Been in those shoes. I have been in those shoes, and it's not fun. But, you know, it's like, you know, I think they were talking something about the union and like that. And, you know, I don't know whether he studied up on the miners' fight here or not. Of course, it's old hat there, but it listens to the horn. They've listened to me. But, you know, like my grandfather and all, they fought and shed blood and everything else for the unions here. And I'm also afraid that if things don't change, it's going to go back to that.
I think this family in Los Angeles and the old gentleman in Michigan and the two women that Dennis Kucinich referenced on the House floor today prove that it's not just going to go back, Nanette. We are on the way to it.
That's what scares me. And I mean, it scares me for the people. It really does. It scares me for the people. And it's so sad, you know, that here we got a Democratic majority in the Congress. We have a Democrat in the White House. Why are we fighting this? Why are we having to fight this?
And I have no good answer for that.
I don't think any of us do. We fought tooth and toenail to try to get this changed in the right way. And it doesn't seem like anything's changing.
And I'm not inclined to be patient when you know, the powers that be say, well, you know, this takes time. Mr. and Mrs. Lupo and the Lupo children didn't have any time.
Didn't have time.
Mr. Scherr froze to death in the space of less than 4 days.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I gave that power company a piece of my mind today.
Did you really?
I called them. And the guy said, I can't comment on that. I said, well, I don't expect you can. I said, you're just a paid hack. I said, but I expect this message to be passed up to your highest boss, that they need to be tried for murder.
Hear, hear.
And I don't know if you've got anybody else on the line or not, but, you know, that thought came to my head. I get so tired of hearing these religious nuts saying, oh, the good Lord, don't put any more money than you can bear. I just want to smack them.
I know.
I do. I just want to reach out and just grab and say, you've never had a hard day, if you can say that.
Well, that's so true. And, you know, there's another way to sort of turn that little cube around and look at it from another angle, Nanette. Maybe if to the extent that there is one, the good Lord doesn't put more on us we can bear. But you know what? That never slowed a daggum Republican down.
No, maybe that's what we can't bear.
And we've had 8 years of more than we can bear, and frankly, tolerating one stinking more day of it, when we have the power to change it, is unbearable.
I just had to turn TV off today. I couldn't even watch C-SPAN. I couldn't stand it.
You mean just watching that parade of Republicans come up and talking about how they wanted to put the wood to America?
Yeah, and the guy that was against that flake from Arizona, you talk about a flake, he's one. He's against Amtrak and everything else. Anything that's good for the country, he's against it.
Well, you know, I couldn't help but notice when I read the report of the House stimulus bill passing, I was reminded of something, Nanette. When I saw that it passed without a single Republican vote, it was like time traveling. Pardon?
Did you expect one?
Oh, no. But it was like,
I didn't either.
It was like time traveling, because I thought back, not that I was there, but I was certainly told the story. I thought back to the passage of the Social Security Act.
Oh, I remember my dad telling about that one. Mm-hmm.
That it passed the Congress without a single Republican vote.
I remember Daddy telling that, and, you know, bless his soul, he's gone now. But he said the only good Republican's a dead one.
That's about the truth of it.
That's the truth of it. You know, you're almost afraid to say anything like that in this day and age.
No, that's not saying anything against the ones that are living or anything. But, you know, when they get into power.
Ages. He lived through, you know, the Hoover years and all that. And I can remember him sitting there and beating the arm of his chair when Arch Moore was governor. You know, the state went bankrupt. Beating the arm of the chair on his recliner, and he said, if he crucified Jesus Christ on the Capitol steps, he said the Republicans could justify it.
And it's true. And, you know, the funny thing is, depending on how things shake out, Nanette, you know, I got little grandbabies.
Yes, you do.
And they may sit back, if they're able to, when they're your age and my age and horn listener ages.
People survive that long.
Right. And they'll tell stories about us. Mm-hmm. Who at least had the common sense to see the evil that was being done. But then they're going to ask a question, Nanette, and that is, why didn't we fix it?
You know, I think the best lesson that any progressive, liberal person could do is what my dad did. Set your kids down by your knee, and you tell them the stories and the sacrifice and everything that went on. You explain it to them in your own words. Don't leave it to a pundit or a talking head or some teacher with a textbook. You tell them how it really was, because what we were taught in school is not what reality was.
Rather cleaned up, shall we say?
Yeah, whitewashed. Tell them like it was. Tell them how hard we did fight. You tell them how hard our ancestors fought, that everybody can have a good life. In corporate America and greed and people like over this Bay City Electric and everything, life doesn't mean anything to them. All it means, the only thing anything means to them is money. We need to tell our children, we need to start teaching them from the time that they can hold on to our knee and keep pounding it into their head all through their high school years. And they might vary from it for a while, but they'll come back to the roots.
Yeah, that's in the book, and there's an element of truth to that. Raise them up in the way is right.
Yeah, and right has to come from mommy and daddy. It can't come from anybody else.
Nope.
So you folks out there, it's not little ones. Take time and talk to them. I know my history, and I know what went with my family and how they had to live, and I remember my life and what I've had to live. Tell your children and tell them never to forget it.
And never to let it happen again.
Right.
And to do whatever is in their power to prevent it.
That's exactly right. You might not win all the time, but don't you ever give up.
Hear, hear, Nanette. Thank you very much.
And with that, I'll let you go. You probably got other callers, and I didn't mean to keep you that long. I couldn't hear exactly everything Dave was saying. The sound was coming and going, and I couldn't hear everything, but I caught bits and pieces, and I wanted to make sure that I got that point across.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Out there about Mr. Shore's death, pick up that phone and call that Bay City Electric Company and give them a piece of your mind. And tell them that you hope that the people in their area goes to the courthouse and sits down to legal justice is done in that man's death.
Amen. Nanette, take care and stay warm, and give Paul my best regards and hey from all of us.
Okay, sweetie. We love you.
We love y'all, too. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. You write that down, put it somewhere you see it every day. Tell your youngins. Hey, welcome to the program, Gerard.
Hey, Bob. Now I gotta follow Nanette. That's gonna be rough.
She's a tough act.
Yeah. I just wanted to call in. I know you're winding up here. Do you recall back when Bush was ramping up to go into Iraq, and the Republicans were in the majority, and, you know, the whole thing was defending America, keeping Americans safe, and the Republic, you know, the info machine, the talking points went out from the great the great one, whoever that might be, Roger Ailes or whoever, that if the Democrats had a better plan, no, the verbiage was, if the Democrats wanted to be relevant, they should come up with a better plan.
Oh, I do remember that.
You know, and, you know, you would think Nancy Pelosi, she's been there a while, you know, she's got to have some kind of learning curve. I mean, Nancy, you know, this is a contact sport, and turnabout is fair play. There's got to be some kind of media wizard. You know, Obama had lots of them on his staff to that could, you know, do the same kind of thing and get the for-profit media's attention on it and say, look, you know, if these Republicans are – because from what I've heard today, the Republicans' response was pretty much their old same old saw they always use, is that, you know
– and you're right, and so was the for-profit media's response, Gerard.
Yeah.
The same old give them all the time they want and, you know, make sure that any Democrat has to answer to two Republicans. And therein lies the fundamental problem. Whether it was Bill Clinton or now Barack Obama, where the media are concerned, we always have to fight uphill with our foot in the bucket. Some of us along the way are figuring out some of the answers. You've got them. Dave knows it. Nanette knows it. Everybody listening to this network knows it. But you know what? There are people in politics who don't. You know, that steady drumbeat that started in 1964. You know, I'll soon be 46 years old, and for virtually every day of my life, there has been a Republican out there screaming about the liberal media that doesn't exist. And I recognize that, and we know that. But I don't know if our elected representatives and our political leadership know that, Gerard.
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, just I'm thinking, Nancy, come on. You know, they're throwing you a softball here. You know, put on your high heels and get out in front of those microphones and say, you know, if the Republicans want to be relevant on the recovery of this nation from, you know, she did say the policies of the, you know, she criticizes the policies of the last 8 years, but, you know, she doesn't go far enough. You know, and
but then again, she's the Speaker of the House, and all she has to do is deliver a simple majority vote, and she did that.
Yeah.
So she feels like that she got her job done, even though they did, you know, surrender their way to peace and freedom along the route. But now, what excuse does Harry Reid have?
Yeah.
What'll it be?
The Democrats in the House that voted against it, I hear different things. I've got quite a long commute from my job. Lucky to have a job. And, you know, once in a while just to, I don't know. It's kind of like the fascination when you drive by an accident. You know,
I do it too.
The other side is saying, you know, and this Michael Medvin, God, is he a piece of work. But, you know, all their criticism is, okay, there's something in the package giving money to the NEA, and there's something in the package for Amtrak, and there's something in the package for, you know, the switch over to digital television. And, well, fine. You know, this whole thing wasn't vetted beforehand, you know, that, and, you know, once again, the Republicans, if they wanted to be relevant, couldn't they have said something then, you know, when this thing is going through committees? You know, it seems like a whole, it gives the impression that this is just a game going on up there, you know, and maybe
to some of them it is, Gerard, but you know what? It's not a game to me.
Yeah.
It's not a game to the vast majority of the people who listen to this network and share their time. And if there's anyone who does think it's a game, They need to walk through the Lupo house, because it said that first responders coming out of there who saw the scene, and we're talking about, you know, veterans of car wrecks and murders and gang, came running out vomiting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe John Boehner needs to take a walk through the Lupo house. Maybe Mitch McConnell needs to look at the scene photographs, and he needs to understand that he is a part of why that happened. Yeah, you're darn right. I lay this squarely on the doormat of Republican, small government, pro-corporate. I do.
Yeah, and all they want to do is cut taxes. Well, think about Mr. Schur. You know, and some of this stuff is not rocket science. You know, I read that story about Mr. Schur, and the first thing I turn and I say to my wife, I said, you know what? He would be alive today if there would have been one well-timed phone call, one conversation. You know, somebody from the Bay City Municipal Power Company, whatever it is, knocks on his door and says, Mr. Schur, we're going to turn off your power, or we're going to turn off your gas.
Well,
understand what's going to happen.
If it's true that there were power bills with cash money clipped to them on the kitchen table, whew, merciful God.
Yeah.
Hey, Gerard, I'm so glad to hear from you, but I'm going to try to catch one more call on the way.
Sounds good.
All right, you take care. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye now. Gerard calling from Indiana. And, hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Renee Louise.
Well, hey, Renee Louise, how are you?
Okay, how about you?
You know, this is a tough couple of nights, but somebody's going to talk about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually running around a short time, too, but everything that I've been listening to is thinking, I don't know if you got the last email.
Yeah, I did, and I hadn't gotten to it yet. I was going to close the program with it.
Yeah, no. Oh, well, then should I just get off?
No, you do it. You do it.
Oh, no. Well, no. It just goes to everything that we're saying here. It goes back to the Limbaugh thing and everything, what David was talking about. I agree. As I stated to you in the email, I've never even listened to the man's program, and he should be just flicked off our shoulders like lint. But the thing is, this guy is the leader of the Republican Party. And as I stated to you in the email, look at how quickly those Republicans who did have the nerve to speak out on him against him this time quickly backtracked. It came from him, and he's the puppet of the corporate world, and that's what we're dealing with. The corporate world runs him, and look at how quickly they backtracked as soon as they came out with it. The next thing you know, they're backtracking out on it. And the next thing you know, the stimulus plan, they all vote against it. So he's the one who's leading it, so we have to stand up and speak out. We, the people, are the ones who do ordain and establish this Constitution. We're the ones who put them, are the leaders in the Congress, but we're also the ones who have to make sure we're making our demands stated, because when they don't hear from us, they don't think they don't care. And Limbaugh's the last person that I want to give any attention to, but he has too much power, and something has to be done, and we have more power if we stand up and voice it. But we have to voice it. So that petition is one way, and to me, I see that petition as perhaps a way of them, the Democrats, actually may be ready to start listening to us and working with us. They're asking for what we think about this. They want to hear from us on this. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of it and state what you want.
And you've got a link to the petition at headonradionetwork.com/forum.
I posted it on the forum before the show even started, or right after the show started. You know, we've got to take that, what they put there for us, any way we can get our voice heard at this point in time until we can go ahead and get more. But heck, you know what I would really love to see? These lobbyists that we have in here and these think tanks that we have in here, I would love to see we the people take over the jobs of the lobbyists. If we had high-speed rail, we could all take turns at it every month as our citizen responsibility. You get on a train, you go to Washington D.C., and you represent whatever.
Yeah, see, I'll be doing that twice in the next 2 months.
Well, there you go. Well, what would be wonderful is we could take the place as we the people take the place of the lobbyists in that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are trying to do.
Yeah,
and just to point out another thing that flows from your ideas. there's something else we can do. Now, this is a we don't have near the listenership of some great big 50,000. I know. Okay, so work with me here.
But, yeah, throw that away. Doesn't matter.
What we can do individually is if Rush Limbaugh, and I'm saying his name, if that man is on a radio station where you live, burn the phone up. Wear them out. And here's how it works. The first call you make is to the station, and you ask to speak to the station manager. If you speak to him, be respectful. If you have to leave a message, leave a respectful message. And here's what you say. You say, this man is rooting for my country to fail.
Right. Exactly.
Now, here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm telling you that you need to pull that man's program off the air. Now, I'm going to prove to you that you do, and I'm going to follow up. Here's what I'm doing. I'm listening to his program, and I'm writing down the name of every advertiser that is played on the program. And I and the people that I pull together are going to wear them out and make sure that they don't see a thin penny of our money until they're out from behind Flush Flimball. And that's going to hurt you, Mr. Radio Station Owner, a lot more than it's going to hurt that advertiser. So you've got the choice. Pull him now or pull him later.
Bob, I think you should put a post up with what you just said so that we can all go ahead and do exactly what you said, just like we did a post with the Bay City Council thing. I called in on that, too. You know, this is how we're going to make an effect. We have to take, we have to be the leader. How many times do I say, we have to be the leader we are in search of? We have to be the ones who take the lead. We have to make the demands, and we have to organize ourselves. We can't just sit here talking about it or moaning about it. We have to. We have the internet. We have so much power behind us. We have to figure out how to go ahead and use it now as a force.
Well, this is, you know, this is happening live,
and
it's
beautiful. That is a perfect way for us to start taking.
Well, you know how I know why that works.
You've done it.
No, I've had it done to me.
Right.
Right wingers.
Right.
The coal industry.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Wore out those that miserable fundamentalist that runs the station that I used to work at.
Well, there you go. We can take it and put it, but do it in a respectful way, as you said. But we can take their fight the way to them. The way they've done it, we can take their tactics and employ them in the same way. Only we can do it in an upright, you know.
Well, if someone wants to take the recording of this program, or turn it into a forum post, or whatever anybody wants to do with it, they are welcome to do.
I mean, this is exactly what you're talking about right here. Is I can see such promise in the horn and what's being done, what John and ELO are going ahead and working on, and making that site connect the way it hopefully is going to. It has so much promise then to make such a potential impact on we the people coming together with the way they're integrating everything, the way they're
It's brilliant and it's beautiful.
The opportunities they're putting forth to us to empower ourselves and organize. It's wonderful. I can't wait to see it. And I said to ELO on the board the other day, it's looking great. Just the little that I see, I'm so impressed. And John's post on it. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't thank them enough. I know they're doing this all out of the kindness of their heart, and it's wonderful that they care this way. But, yeah, you're right. And I understand, too, at the same time, because I know I'm under it myself, it's like time. We're all on this hamster wheel of survival. But you know what? We've got to do it.
Yes, we do.
We have to do it. And we've got to, if it's a minute here or a minute there, you know, and this is one, and start taking action, physical, concrete action. But again, so here we have this, what you just stated, steps to go ahead and do that. That's one way.
Well, you know, and it doesn't have to be as painful as it sounds, Renee Louise. If we had three people in this audience who were, for instance, willing to listen to that vitriolic pig tomorrow and divide it up into hours, come to your own agreement via email or whatever, I'll listen to hour one, you listen to hour two, and somebody else will listen to hour three. All right?
There you go.
Now, there's a trick to it, because the first ad is usually what's called a network availability. That means that advertisement goes all over anywhere that program's heard. But then if you start hearing local ads for, you know, free car wash with Philip at Stan's Texaco on the corner of South and Main, that's a local ad. And the local people are as important as the national people. But that's a little bit more difficult because that means local people have to band together to leverage that local business.
See, Bob, this knowledge you're putting out here is invaluable. You've got to get it down for us. Because I'm clueless on what you're giving me.
Okay, well, I mean, I
don't know how.
I'm not being an ass or anything. I think I just did.
Well, no, I'm not. You're not. But I'm saying, it sounds like you just gave me even more of what's going on and who to target.
Well, maybe.
I don't know the background, the back workings of everything, and how what you're saying to me right here.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, maybe I'm just being stupid, you know.
No. You're not. This comes from years of immersion in the business
and I'm fairly new to the talk radio thing, you know.
Well, you know what I'm kind of clueless about? Using the website.
See, well, this I knew
it's
you
kind,
would get. See, and this is why I'm.
It's kind of like admitting. It's kind of like admitting you're illiterate.
No, and you know what, Bob? Please, you're not. I've heard you. You send emails to Mike Malloy. Even has read your emails. But you know what? I never said that it's easy. It's not easy. Believe me, I know what it is to sit down and put your thoughts into coherent. And into a coherent thesis or whatever. But the thing is to, look at me, my mind's going on me right now. But the thing is to just do it. You just have to do it. Just confront it. This is a fear of yours. Just confront it. I could feel it in you. And again, just like with the clean coal thing that I was pushing you on with Rachel Maddow and everything, nobody is better to do it than the one who has the best knowledge on it. You have the knowledge on this right now. And if you just take the time and sit down, I mean, whether we do it this time, it would be great, yeah, if we could do it this time. But you know Limbaugh's going to have another opportunity, give us another opportunity to do it.
He has yet to stop.
But yeah. So go ahead, set it down for us, empower us. But you've got the knowledge. You have the experience in it.
Okay. I'm trying to log in right now.
Yeah, this is an excuse, Bob.
No, it's not. I'm sitting here doing it as we're talking, Renee Louise. This username does not exist. Register it. I mean,
I'll hold your hand with you on it. I'll talk you through it.
I've got it up here. I will get it.
You're more savvy than me, I'm sure.
I've got it up here, and I will get it done before the half hour is passed. But I'm going to do a little bit of extra.